When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
All right, the best show is back. Sorting through a couple teeny weeny little techie issues. Thanks to the guys for working hard and sorting that out. I appreciate it. We will now begin the best show. An hour later than usual, but what are you going to do? You're probably listening to this 35 years from now. My skeleton will be rotting at that point. I'll be so dead in 35 years. Are you kidding? Holy moly, will I be dead? I'll be in some graveyard that they'll probably want to build a mall on, and they'll just be like, man, let's set up a little kiosk for the iPhone 14 at that point will be selling on top of my grave. Well, let's just build it on, and then I'll be haunting a kiosk. A mall kiosk will be what it'll be. Even my ghost won't have a good thing to haunt. Well, one thing I want you all to know, my friends, today's episode of The Best Show is brought to you by Squarespace. Squarespace is the easiest way to create a beautiful website, blog, or online store for you and your ideas. Squarespace features an elegant interface, beautiful templates, and incredible 24/7 customer support. Try Squarespace over at squarespace.com and enter offer code BESTSHOW at checkout to get 10% off. Squarespace, build it, beautiful. Best show.
Best show, yeah, you know that it's the best show, and I'll be the
that, my friends, the best show is back on a Tuesday night. Better late than never, but we're here, and we're all going to have a grand old time, just like you used to have back in the old days. Remember, boy, the way Glenn Miller played. Remember that? Gee, our old. What was it again? Our old LaSalle? Two hate mongers at a piano. That's what that is. Mr. and the two hate mongers sitting down playing a song about how it used to be better in the bad old days. You know what I mean, Mike? The bad old days. Two hate mongers. Husband, Mr. and Mrs. Hate Monger.
Oh, what? Gee. Wait, wait.
Can you imagine the days that passed for entertainment? All in the family. Everybody used to watch that thing. Like 45 million people would watch that sitting around. Oh, did you see All in the Family tonight? Yeah, Meathead got in an argument with Archie over the draft.
You see, Arch, the problem is there shouldn't be a draft.
Okay, Meathead. You gotta have a draft if we're gonna stop the
whatever he say. He would get like the Viet Cong wrong, where you say like, right?
Yeah, you're going to stop the Viet Cong with the Chinese restaurants.
Like some racist thing.
Oh, Archie. Lay off. Meathead.
Oh, she didn't call him Meathead. Right? Did Edith call Archie Meathead, Mike? No, she called him Mike.
Mike and Gloria are coming over.
Sounds like Gary the Squirrel. Edith Bunker has a fair amount of Gary the Squirrel. Right? Oh, Mike don't like that. Mike hates Gary. Even though they have a show together now, which is a hit. It's a hit show. At the movies with Gary and Mike. Gary's at the Met game tonight. He was texting before. He's at the Mets game. What do you think of that, Mike? He got good tickets. He's in the dugout. I don't know if anybody else knows he's in the dugout. Yeah. My fringe. The best show's back. What did we just hear? Oh, we just heard Telekinesis. Telekinesis. From their album. Ad Infinitum. On the Merge record label.
It's very exciting. We just heard on Merge Records, Mrs. Cromwell was playing the new Telekinesis record as she was baking her famous rhubarb pie. She really enjoyed listening to a lot of indie rock. She was a huge fan of the OCs. Mrs. Abernathy disagreed, feeling that the two-drummer lineup of the OCs was slightly overpowering.
Let me just say something. Two people I want to talk about. One, this goon on Twitter, giving me a hard time.
I was lied to.
About he didn't get, the show didn't start on time. We're sorting through technical problems here. Trying to do it. You were lied to. Yeah, go get a refund, you goon. Yeah, go. The refund window's right over there. Right at the edge of the cliff. Go 2 feet past the edge of the cliff. That's where the refund window is. You fall down Wile E. Coyote style. Right? Right? You know what we tell that guy, Mike, right? What's that now? No, we don't give him the heave-ho. We just tell that guy to jump in a lake. My friends, technical computer stuff is very difficult, as You can see I don't know what I'm doing. I stand here staring at the mirror like McVicker. It's like the cover of McVicker, right? The Roger Daltrey soundtrack. Remember when he did that? No? Nobody does? McVicker? No, I guess it's not like the cover of McVicker. It's like what did he stare at the window in Tommy? Tommy, he stared at the window. Remember? Smash the mirror. That's what I'm like when there's technical problems. Well, my friends, I don't know what I'm doing. And when it comes to building a website, I don't know what I'm doing. So that's why I tell you, the best show listener, when you're having a hard time with tech stuff, you want to build a website, you don't know what you're doing, you know what you do? You go to Squarespace. My friends at Squarespace, they make it easy for you. Because I've had bad website experiences trying to build those things. Ain't nothing happening with it. Ends up terrible. Then everybody's mad, and I'm sad. Nobody wins. But with Squarespace, we all win. Professionally designed websites. No coding required. Intuitive and easy-to-use tools. Squarespace has state-of-the-art technology powering your site to ensure security and stability. Trusted by millions of people and some of the most respected brands in the world. And it's only $8 a month. And you get a free domain if you sign up for a year. You go to squarespace.com, my friends. And when you decide to sign up for Squarespace, make sure you use the offer code BESTSHOW to get 10% off your first purchase. Because they will help you out. You can't beat it. 24/7 online support. Holy guacamole, man. Squarespace. Squarespace.com, offer code BESTSHOW. And that's because they support the best show with me. Squarespace, build it beautiful. Oh, what did we just hear? We heard that telekinesis record, right? That's good stuff. You like that, Mike? Yeah, it was nice, right? It's good stuff. And Mike knows good music. And I know good music. And I'm telling you, Merge Records. I did not play that because Merge... I played it because I play every stuff on Merge all the live long day. I've been playing stuff on Merge since Merge started. Since that Wax cassette. Wax! I was on board. And I'm still on board. In 2015, Merge Records added some exciting releases to its already stellar catalog, including new albums from Titus Andronicus, Mike Kroll, Mac McCon, the lead singer of Superchunk, Arcade Fire's Will Butler, The Mountain Goats, and Waxahachie, as well as reissues by Spoon, Seaweed, Superchunk, Magnetic Fields, and more. You can find all these albums in the Merge web store, along with a limited number of complete or thousands of prizes 7-inch box sets, and selections from the Merge 25th Anniversary Reissue Series, such as Lamb Chop's Nixon and Teenage Fan Club's Man Made. For a limited time, Best Show listeners will receive 20% off all Merge catalog CDs and LPs and Merge gear like t-shirts, hats, and tote bags. Visit MergeRecords.com/shop and use Best Show, the offer code Best Show, to get the check off to get 20% discount. Merge Records, you hear me play that Destroyer record every week. That's one of my favorite records this year. Destroyer. Can't beat that thing, man. You get that one. Go over there, you get that record. 20% off. You go to mergerecords.com/shop. Offer code BESTSHOW. 20% off. Go do it. Support independent record labels like Merge Records. And specifically Merge Records. One more thing I want to tell you all about, my friends. One more thing. If you've got money in the stock market, you probably broke even this year. Maybe you even lost money. But if your dollars were in real estate in San Francisco, New York, Seattle, Chicago, or almost any other major city, you probably made a nice little return. Diversification is the name of the game when it comes to investing. And if you're looking to diversify your portfolio with real estate, look no further than Realty Shares. Realty Shares is a private real estate investment club that allows you to invest as little as $1,000 in homes and commercial real estate deals across the United States. Realty Shares has offered real estate investment opportunities in over 100 major metro areas. Thousands of investors have earned returns as high as 20% this year on the Realty Shares platform. It's very easy to become one of them. And plus, when you sign up and make an investment, you can refer your friends for $150 each. So what do? This is what you do. You go to your computer. You go to your web browser. You type in realtyshares.com/bestshow to create a free account and get started. Learn real estate investment tips on their blog or simply browse investment opportunities over at realtyshares.com/bestshow/bestshow. realtyshares.com/bestshow. Oh, we got an exciting show for you. Unfortunately, because of the technical problems, I believe we will be without Nathan Fielder tonight. That will probably happen next week. We'll make that happen next week. Look at this goon. This goon's already, "I'm sorry, Tom. I didn't mean to be a jerk. It happened, you know." Think before you type. Think before you type, you goon. I didn't even say your name on the air, you goon. I'm not even giving you, I ain't gonna give you the air time. Oh, we got an exciting show planned for you tonight. I think Nathan Fielder will be next week, but we're going to have Julie Klausner and Hayes Davenport in studio. So get ready for that. In a matter of moments, we'll have that. And I want to send a message out to my friends at the Italian restaurant that I ate at tonight. You guys listen, and you listen good. I know you're over there listening as you're scrubbing the tables. Or whatever you do after hours. And this goes for all Italian restaurants. Would it kill you guys to make the vinaigrette not like a laundry grade vinegar with that? Like the strongest vinegar I've ever had in my life. It's like, how am I supposed to eat this salad? Sit down for a nice meal, pre-show meal. Put the vinegar, the oil and vinegar on the thing, on the salad. And then there, and then I put it on, and then like there was like a crunchy piece of lettuce that like served to almost be like nature's version of a Frito scoop. It was almost like a natural Frito scoop, and it flung the dressing in my eye. I kid you not, for 3 minutes I was in this restaurant clutching my eye, but trying to act like I was just like eating like a normal person, like doo 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 doo. And meanwhile, I'm just like, I hope I don't have to go to the hospital. This hurts so bad. My eye is on fire with dressing, with oil and vinegar. Thumbs down, Italian restaurants. Tone down the strength of that vinegar. We're trying to eat it. I'm not trying to wipe down my innards, right? That vinegar you use for laundry. You wash clothes with that stuff. You bleach your teeth with it. But these guys, man, they're so liberal with that vinegar. Unbelievable. Oh, boy. Oh, boy, we're having a good show. Who's this, Mike, on one? This person, best show, you've been on hold for about 2.5 hours. What's going on?
Hey.
Hi.
I had a question for Hayes Davenport.
Well, Hayes is not
there yet?
He's not in studio yet. Why don't you tell me what the question is, and I'll ask him.
Okay. Well, Hayes has often professed on his show that he has a reasonable fear of the frightening and terrifying. With the Halloween season almost upon us, I wanted some tips and advice on how to get through it as a reasonably frightened man.
All right. Well, why don't you call back with that one?
Will do. Thanks.
Just call back with it. I'll make sure you get through. Okay? All right, my friend? He hung up. Ba-na-na, ba-na-na-na-na, ba-na-na, ba-na-na-na. Halloween's coming up. That's why you catch me on Halloween, man. You know what I like to do on Halloween? Eat candy. Like to go to the movies, eat candy. On Halloween, that's right, I see a nice horror movie, right? And this year I'm going to see the top horror movie, starring friend of the best show, Jack Black, Goosebumps, will be in theaters on Halloween. Rated R. What if Goosebumps was like a hard R? Eli Roth's Goosebumps. Who likes these Eli Roth movies? How's this guy still... Who are these aimed at? They should just, like, have a net ready and just... Hey, you guys ready for the sickest Eli... What if they just promoted, like, Eli Roth, and it's just called Sick Bleepin' Bleep. You know, like, that's what they... Like, Sick F'n S is, like, Eli Roth's Sick F'n S. Everybody's in the theater. Are you guys ready for the new Eli Roth movie? It's his sickest yet. If you're ready to see it, raise your hands. And everybody raise, and it's like they raise their hands, and then a giant net falls from the roof of the theater. Like an electrified net that like paralyzes all these people. It's like, we are going to assume you are up to something if you wanted to see this new Eli Roth movie. We will sort this out in a detention camp. We will figure out what you're guilty of in a detention camp. Like, it turns out Eli Roth is like a fink, right? A no-good fink. Double-crossing the people of America like Timothy Leary did. Best Show, you're on the air.
Oh, crazy night, huh?
Oh, man. You said it, brother.
Man, my heart goes out to you.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, we sorted through it. I appreciate Pat and Jason and Martine were working hard on all the stuff, so...
That's great.
Thank you to them for sorting it out.
I'll tell you, man, it's that thing that everyone talks about, and it's not, you know, it's, I think there's something to it, this Mercury retrofit.
Mm-hmm. Mercury what?
Mercury retrofit. It's when, I guess, like the planet Mercury mm-hmm. gets too close to Earth's orbit.
Okay.
And I guess it shoots some stuff at us.
Yeah, I think that's Mercury. It's retrograde, probably. Retrofit sounds like something else.
Oh, I don't know. Oh, hey, speaking of space,
mm-hmm.
you see The Martian?
I did not see The Martian yet.
I saw it last night.
Did you like it?
I liked it, but there was too much math in it.
Uh-huh. Too much what?
Math.
Math.
A lot of math and science talk, which I just, you know, I couldn't follow, really.
Do you glaze over when they get into
that? I kind of glazed. It was like getting a verbal back rub.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So, but did you like other parts of it?
I did like it, yeah. I liked especially when, is it Matt Damon or is it the other guy?
Oh, that was Matt Damon.
You saw the movie? Pardon me?
You saw the movie and you weren't sure if it was Matt Damon or Ben Affleck?
No, it's the other guy I'm never sure of. Who's the guy that was in the movie that everybody hated that did so well about the, like a little creature?
The movie about a little creature?
He's like a stocky guy too. What's his name?
Oh, Mark Wahlberg?
Mark Wahlberg, yes.
Okay.
I'm never sure which guy who looks like a college wrestler on his way to regionals is in these movies now.
It's hard. Yeah. I can see that. It is hard to tell these 5'8", these 5'8", college, like, guys in their 40s who look like they're teenage college wrestlers.
I swear at one point, Damon is wearing that wrestling headgear.
Really?
It's supposed to be like a space outfit, but uh-huh. it's those ear things. But I know it is.
But he's not wearing like a singlet, is he?
He is, yes.
He's actually wearing a wrestling singlet in The Martian.
He is, and he's stretching at one point. It's very interesting. Interesting.
Like he's getting ready for a match.
He is, yes. Yeah. Wow. Yeah, I think, and at one point he drinks one of those rocky egg shakes.
Really?
Yes.
He
cracks them open.
So he drinks, but does it, is it like a zero gravity egg thing? Does he have to like scoop the eggs? Are the eggs floating through space?
They are, yes, yeah. It's quite a scene. It's great. Uh-huh. It's cinematic to the utmost.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, I'm watching this... This debate,
uh-huh.
the Democratic debate.
Yeah, yeah. How's that going?
I've never heard Bernie Sanders speak before.
Uh-huh.
I've never heard his voice.
Yeah.
He sounds like Larry David doing Steinbrenner.
You mean
Georgie
like,
Hungry?
What's that?
Georgie Hungry!
Wow. So
remember
I didn't,
how he says that?
Yeah, when he'd be like, you mean when he'd be behind...
Give me that Parmesan, Georgie!
So that could be our next president.
Yes.
Could sound. Usually you're not supposed to have the impression figured out that early on a guy like that.
It's true, yeah, yeah. I bet SNL brings Larry David in to do him, and they add him as a featured player.
For the current season?
Yes, oh yeah, yeah.
Wow, that's an interesting proposition. I don't know if that's going to happen. I don't know.
Hmm. You see the Flaming Lips on there last week?
With Miley Cyrus.
Yeah, that's the most I've ever seen Wayne Coyne hang in the background.
Yeah, you'd think he was scared or something. Like, it was like, I thought there he might have been wearing some sort of, like, electric dog collar, like an electric fence that stopped him from going all the way to the front of the stage.
I wouldn't doubt that. That's what it looked like. It's a great observation, Tom.
Oh, thank you. I don't even know who you are. But
I wasn't being sarcastic.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah. You know. You sound so, you're, okay. I thought you were giving me the business.
Wait, it sounds like you're being sarcastic now.
No, I'm not being sarcastic at all.
You can't talk to me like that.
Hey, I'm not, I don't know why you're escalating it.
You escalated it.
I didn't escalate it.
You will not talk to me like that.
Why? Why can't I talk to you like that?
Because I'm a champion. I'm Dick Norton.
What? Wait, what's that?
I'm Dick Norton.
Dick Norton.
Yes.
Dick, who is Dick Norton?
Oh, just the only professional athlete to earn championship rings in three different professional sports. That's all.
You've received championship. Nobody's ever gotten championship rings for three different pro sports.
I have.
You have.
Oh, yeah.
Really? What sports?
Basketball, baseball, and hockey. Why?
No, wait, hold on. This is insane. What is your name again? Dick Norton?
Yes.
Hold on. I got to search this.
I got my first ring with the champion 84 Celtics.
Okay. Hold on. Okay, here it is. Dick Norton. Okay, now I remember you now. Yeah, Dick Norton.
Not so glib and disrespectful now, are we, son?
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I'll tell you, if anyone was a candidate for my seminar, it's your ass.
What? You're for your seminar?
Yeah.
What is your seminar?
Dick Norton's The Champion's Way with Dick Norton.
Dick Norton's The Champion's Way with Dick Norton?
Yes, yeah.
What is that?
Well, it's a success-based seminar where I impart my championship wisdom unto non-champions in an effort for them to realize their championship potential.
Uh-huh. Well, Dick, I gotta say, I'm a pretty big NBA fan, and I'm thinking back to that 84 team when you played with the Celtics.
Okay, son.
Uh-huh. And if I remember correctly, you did not play, you almost never played, right?
Oh, well, you know, Coach Jones used me very sparingly for the greatest possible effect,
mm-hmm.
For sure.
How sparingly? Like, how often, that year, how often did you play?
32.
Oh, so you played 32 games? That's not that sparingly. That's actually pretty good.
No, 32 seconds.
Wait. You played 32 seconds. But you almost... And how many seasons?
Altogether, two.
Two?
Yeah. Yeah, by the end of the first season, I was wearing my street clothes under my sweatsuit. And so I would just whip it off. And then I'd head to JoJo's, this bar that I'd hold court at.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and just kind of, you know, go wild there. But then some people started to not believe I was even on the team. So I started wearing my sweats to JoJo's.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I take the sweats off, and then I walk around the bar in my game uniform.
Okay.
Yeah, I got so many free drinks from that, as well as endless minutes of behind-the-jukebox fun.
Behind the Jukebox Fund.
Yeah, you know what I'm talking about.
Cool, I think I do. That's
oh,
the...
yeah, you got to get back there sometime.
Behind the Jukebox.
Yeah.
So when you do these seminars, what are you teaching at one of your seminars? Because it kind of, I don't know how it could be about contributing to like a winning team or participating, you know, actually participating on a winning team.
Oh, it's not.
Wait, it's not. So what are you teaching then?
Well, I teach a landmark technique called success through psychic manipulation, confidence erosion, and ego devastation.
Psychic manipulation. What was it? Confidence erosion?
Yeah.
And what was the other one?
Ego devastation.
Well, that sounds terrible. What is that? What is that? What are those three things?
I can certainly nutshell it for you if you'd like.
I would like you to nutshell it for me, Dick.
Well, here's what you do. You plant seeds in the minds of your teammates or your coworkers. You know, if you're a cubicle zero, you know, a cubicle zero.
A cubicle zero.
Yeah.
What is that?
Well, it's like a drone.
Okay.
You know, someone who's making no difference in any form of in any aspect of everyday life.
Oh wow, that's a little, that's mean.
I didn't make it up.
Okay, but so go ahead. I didn't mean to interrupt you, Dick.
Anyway, you plant these seeds in the minds of those who you know are better than you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you plant these seeds that everybody hates them.
Mm-hmm.
Or that you know that they know deep down inside that they're a total failure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and eventually they crumble under the constant negative reinforcement.
Uh-huh.
And these mind games that you play on them, that they eventually quit or get fired, and then you reap the benefits.
Uh-huh. Oh, so it's basically some form of, psychological torture.
Well, yeah. But that phrase just has a very unmarketable ring to it, don't you think?
Yeah. Oh, I think psychological torture has an unmarketable ring to it, sure.
See, I just said that.
Uh-huh. Yeah, no, I was agreeing with you, Dick.
Okay.
Uh-huh. So these are techniques you've used in your actual career?
Oh, yes. Yeah, take the Celtics, for example. I had just enough talent to get on that team, just barely.
Mm-hmm.
It was down to me and this other player, Milt Ramsey,
mm-hmm.
as to who was going to get that final spot on the bench.
Okay.
So I kept telling Milt that I thought he was great, but that Coach Jones thought he was fat and that he actually might be mentally challenged.
Oh, God.
Well, but of course, back then, we had a much funnier way of saying that before the PC thought police came to town.
Oh, a funnier way of saying it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Oh, and also, I was lining his shorts and his sneakers with fishing weights, so he was getting slower and slower as the days went by.
Uh-huh.
And the other guys started calling him Kareem Abdul Just Sunday Bar.
That's what
I actually made it up, and I fed it to the other guy.
Oh, so you started?
You got to call him this.
Yeah,
that's great.
So okay. So
anyway, old Milt turned in his uniform soon after, and he ended up selling ice cream outside a women's prison.
Uh-huh.
A noble endeavor, if ever there was one, uh-huh. don't you think?
Oh, well, I think what I think of selling ice cream outside a women's prison is that seems fine, but what you did sounds pretty pretty bizarre and borderline psychopathic. Actually.
Wait, what? No! It's a perfect example of survival of the fittest.
Uh-huh, uh-huh. Yeah. Wait, hey, Dick?
Yes?
You said basketball, you got your championship. What? But you said you got one in baseball also?
Oh, yes, son. I played on the 1990 Cincinnati Reds championship team.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Okay, hold on. Get a look at the 90 Reds. Okay. I don't see in this team picture.
Keep looking.
Hey, you're not here.
Wait, is that you in the last row? Is that you in the official team picture?
Yeah.
Are you wearing, you're the only guy wearing sunglasses?
Yeah, that's me.
Uh-huh.
You see, our manager, Lou Piniella.
Yeah.
He was livid with me that day. And I told him, you know, well, it's either the sunglasses or everybody sees both my black eyes.
Uh-huh. You had two black eyes.
I did, yeah.
How did you get two black eyes?
I got into a huge fight that morning with Ron Dibble.
Uh-huh.
He was one of the other guys on the team.
Yeah.
Yeah, he double-eye-batted me.
He double-eye-batted you.
Yeah, it's okay. Exactly what you think it is.
Yeah, yeah.
What do you think it is?
I think he used a bat to give you two black eyes.
See, I told you knew what it was. Mm.
Well, I figured it out. It's not like it's a thing.
Well, anyway, he was accusing me of blackmailing my Aunt Marge Schott into letting me be on the team.
Uh-huh. Oh, so Marge Schott, who was the owner of the Reds.
Yes.
You were her nephew.
What is this, an inquisition?
Well, no, you just said it was your aunt. I'm just I'm asking you a simple question based on something you said. Well, I mean, why can't you just answer that very simple question?
All right, look, yeah, she was my daddy's sister.
Uh-huh.
And a true patriot who we could all learn something from.
Uh-huh.
These candidates could learn from her.
Okay. Yeah. And you were accused of blackmailing her?
It wasn't blackmail.
Uh-huh.
It was Norton mail.
What is Norton mail?
Well, in that case, Norton mail took the form of me telling her that nobody would ever love her like I love her. That everybody but me hated her and thought she was a vile piece of street trash with no hope of ever being taken seriously.
Mm-hmm.
And before you knew it, I was a Red.
Oh, God. So you didn't even earn your spot on that team.
Sure, I did.
Did you play?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they called me Mr. Top of the Ninth.
Mr. Top of the Ninth. Why,
yeah.
Why did they call you Mr. Top of the Ninth?
Because Coach Piniella would put me in left field when we were having
his name. Hey, what was that?
Because Coach Piniella would put me in left field when we were ahead by no less than 8 runs at the top of the ninth inning. Why?
8 runs.
Yes.
Uh-huh. How many times did that happen?
Oh, God. At least once.
Once?
Yeah.
Once. That is hilarious.
Maybe you're hilarious to me.
Uh-huh. Well, yeah. It's laughable, Dick.
Maybe you're laughable.
Uh-huh. So I'm like, okay, well, I got to say, Dick, you got no right to...
I don't like how you said my name just then.
Well, it's your name.
Well, you said it in such a way that, yeah, you had a little, it had a little heft to it, a little girth. Uh-huh. I didn't like.
I'm sorry.
I didn't like.
Oh, okay. I'm not sure what that is, but...
I didn't like it.
You don't like it?
No.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
You know who said stuff like that?
Who?
Do you remember that movie, Christine?
Christine, about the car?
The car.
Yeah.
Do you remember, I don't know if I can say this word, this name on the air, can I?
Well, give me a hint on what it is.
Well, it was a name that one of the characters called the lead character. His name was Cunningham.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can't say.
But he added a letter to the middle.
Yeah,
of
I'm
it.
Pretty. It's not. No, you can't say that. You
okay,
can't
well,
say
anyway,
that, Dick.
The person who said something in this vein was the guy that was the bully who said that. The guy that bullied Cunningham.
Mm-hmm.
Remember him? He was playing an 18-year-old, but the actor was obviously 40.
Keith Gordon.
Is that his name?
Yeah, he had a receding hairline. It was like a senior in high school who was dealing with male pattern baldness.
No, I'm talking about, well, that's that. I'm talking about the bully.
Oh, the bully. Okay.
Yes.
I'm sorry, Dick. I didn't know who you're talking about.
Oh, you anger me so much.
Okay. Well, I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
Oh.
Okay. Calm down. Calm down, Dick.
Oh. I don't like that at all.
You don't. Well, I got to say, you have no right to impart any sort of championship knowledge or advice to anyone.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, tell that to my students, several of whom are enjoying huge success in the business world as we speak.
Really? Like, yes. Like who?
Oh, off the top of my head, Martin Shkreli, Jacob Owens, and Jared Rutledge are just a few of the champions of business. I've helped become champions of business.
Okay, Martin Shkreli, that's the guy who, that creep who ups the price of AIDS medicine from like $13 to like $750 a pill. And those other two guys are those two dirtbags that were in the news a few weeks ago.
Oh, they were?
Yeah.
Oh, how wonderful. I told you I breed champions.
Yeah, no, they were the guys. They own a coffee shop in like North Carolina, and they got busted for doing like a really kind of vicious podcast and blog about like their like sexual exploits.
Well, look, what the champions do with the championship knowledge I impart, it's not my responsibility at all.
Okay, so basically you're telling people, like, if you teach them how to build a bomb, and then you're like, well, I can't help what you do with the bomb you built. You know,
I've done that too.
What's that?
I've done that too. I've taught students how to build bombs, and then something went awry, and I was out the door.
In your bomb building class?
It's a side class I have. Yeah.
Okay.
We don't need to advertise that though, right now.
Well, I don't want to advertise it at all.
Oh well.
I gotta say, you are a complete failure as a human, and. I do a thing on the show called The Hate Pit, and I'm going to drop you in a couple minutes. But before I do that, I would like to ask you, how on earth do you have your third championship ring? You said you have one for hockey?
Yes, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Well, when I joined the Carolina Hurricanes in 2006,
how old have you played for the Boston Celtics in 84, and then you just joined a hockey team in 2006? How old are you? How old were you when you did this?
Oh, then 44. Uh-huh. Why?
Because that is very old for a hockey player. That's like way older. Hold on a second. I got to look up you said the 2006 Hurricanes?
That's right. Oh my God, what was that?
Okay, here's the
robot.
You got a robot over there?
Yeah, no, go ahead. Sorry.
You're not even in this team picture.
Oh, yeah, that's probably because I was sweeping up then.
You were what?
I was sweeping up.
Sweeping up. What do you mean by sweeping up?
Well, you know how some teams have a player coach?
Mm-hmm.
Like Craig T. Nelson in that film Slapshot?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I was the league's only player custodian.
Player custodian?
Yeah.
What does that mean?
Well, I was already a custodian at the arena in 2006.
Okay.
But then I worked out a deal with General Manager Rutherford.
Mm-hmm. Well, what kind of deal did you work out?
Well, here's how it went. I got to be on the Hurricanes, who were basically a week away from winning the title. And in exchange, I didn't tell the authorities that I saw him slap a young fan in the face after a game.
Mm-hmm. And you saw him do that?
Well, by the time I was done with a round of Dick Norton's championship gaslighting, he sure did.
Uh-huh. So, gaslight. So you convinced him that he slapped a kid even though he didn't.
Tom, the power of suggestion is a wonderful tool in the champion's quest for championship glory.
Uh-huh. Well, this is nuts. You should be behind bars. You should be locked up.
Really?
Yeah.
Actually, from what I hear,
mm-hmm.
It's you who should be locked up.
Me?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know, man. Everyone thinks you're some kind of unhinged, subatomic, hulking, gorilliatic doodlebop.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they all say you need real psychological help, real bad.
Mm-hmm.
then you're a real detriment to podcasting.
Okay, well, I see what you're doing here. You're trying to gaslight me right now. It's not
me?
Yeah, yeah.
No, I'm not.
Yeah, yeah.
No, look, I think you're great.
Uh-huh.
It's just that, you know, I was talking to Mike in Dudio earlier today.
Okay.
And, forget it, man.
No, wait, go. I want to hear this. What were you talking to them about?
Well, I'm just passing on what they said.
Uh-huh.
They think that, you know, you're really losing your touch. Yeah, you lost your edge and you're nowhere near as funny as you used to be.
Well, I mean, I can't believe they would. Look, it's.
I know.
No,
I tried to tell them you're great.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
I mean, it's hard. You try to do a new show every, you know what I mean? You're trying to, like, work on stuff every week, and it's
hard.
Yeah.
Yeah. But like I said, I think you're awesome, you know, a true legend. But from what they said, the whole industry thinks it's over.
It's over? You mean like the show?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, you in the entertainment business.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Wow. That
yeah, you're
me.
Done.
That hit me where it... Yeah, that got me... Well, look, maybe it is time. I don't know.
Yeah, I know. Well, look, you know, I'd be glad to take over.
For the show?
Oh, wait. Hang on.
Wait. What's that?
Oh, that's Martin Shkreli.
Yeah? Was that
he just pulled up. We're going to go shopping for gold mailboxes tonight.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
What was that? That was him honking his horn?
It was, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, something's wrong with that one. Hang on. Oh, what's going on with that one? Yeah, that second horn must be clogged with gold.
Clogged with gold.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. His horns run on old liquid gold.
Uh-huh.
And sometimes the gold he uses is so thick with gold.
Yeah.
That it clogs the horns.
Because there's so much gold.
It is, yeah. So his car has only 1.5 horns.
Okay.
1.5 horns.
Mm-hmm.
Horns. 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 Horns.
Oh, he hung up. He hung up, Mike?
Yeah.
Oh, that's weird. I'm scared of that guy. That guy scares me. Dick Norton. Best show, you're on the air.
Hey, Tom.
Oh, hey, who's this?
This is Don in Portland.
Don in Portland. What's up, Don?
Not much. I thought I'd give you a call because I was wondering if you've heard about these escape rooms that are popping up all over the place.
Oh, have I heard of them?
Yeah.
I think you might want to check for Los Angeles. Someone set the record in solving one.
Oh, how long's that?
How fast did I solve? I solved it by myself.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, in like 4 minutes.
That's pretty remarkable.
Yeah, it was, and they made, then I went back again, they made it harder.
Uh-huh.
I solved it in 3 minutes the second time.
No kidding.
And then I went back again.
Uh-huh.
And they actually made it so it wouldn't be solvable. Like they, just like there was no answer to it. And then this is what I said to them. So it's just like, oh, I'm having a panic attack in here. The walls are closing and you gotta let me out. Seriously, I'm freaking out. And then they opened the door. And I was like, I escaped.
And then you got them.
Yeah. And then they were like, ah, you got us. Why? Have you done an escape room?
Yeah. I had to do one for a team building exercise for my work.
Uh huh. Well, that's depressing. Where are you working?
I'm actually, I'm working right now and I'd like to leave, but I work in an office.
You work in an office?
Yeah.
And do you feel like these team building exercises actually help things?
No.
Like, do you just...
Everybody just kind of did their own thing. Like, there are a bunch of puzzles in the room, and everybody just kind of grabbed a puzzle, and every now and then we'd kind of communicate and then get back to it.
What was the theme of the room?
It was the Revolutionary War.
What?
Yeah, right? You're supposed to be locked in this room by some redcoats, and they're going to come back in an hour and execute you if you don't solve these puzzles that they, I guess,
dumbest thing I've ever heard in my life. You know what would get me out of that room?
What?
Having to go back in and hear that fife music that they played back then. Right? I'd want to get out so fast. Talk about that's my motivator. That fife
we
music.
We didn't have music in ours.
They made people want to fight that fife music, right? Wouldn't you want to, wouldn't the thing you could think of doing more is to run someone through with a bayonet if suddenly, if all you heard all day was boop, 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 right? Like a drum, one of those drums over that people like wore, like over the, like mounted to the, like, you know, like they have the strap, like the, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like marching band drums.
Right, fife and drum stuff.
Yeah, could you imagine if that's the only music you had back then? Holy moly. It's like the worst proposition I ever heard in my life.
It's either that or harpsichord music.
So did you solve the puzzle?
Yeah, we got out with like 10 minutes to spare, but that's kind of a relief because I don't think that we would have been able to look at one another in the eye the following Monday.
Well, look, I did one of these things with another group, and I laid back to, like, see how they did with it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's pretty embarrassing when these people can't, like, when they fail, it's pretty brutal. Like, they are just like, because there'll be people like, maybe this thing goes for that thing. Someone go find that code. Where's that?
Yeah.
Where's that ledger? Maybe that tells us the coordinates of this thing, and we can open the safe, right? Right?
Yeah.
Now we can open the safe.
Well, they warn you not to break anything. So there are so many rules, and all of them revolve around.
Look, bro, I'm gonna lay it out straight. I'm gonna lay it out straight. I was being parodic when I said I solved the escape room thing before. I didn't. I did one of these things, and I did so poorly at it. Can we my guests come in, please? I did an escape room with one of the two of these people. Come on in, guys. Come on in. Let's go. Let's get another chair in here for the gang. Thank you. Thank you. Another chair coming through. We got thank you. How you doing? We got it coming in. Good. Good. Very good. We've got Julie Klausner, right?
Oh, you're kidding.
And your host. And your host, Julie Klausner. Right? With musical guest Waves. Right?
Waves coin.
Musical guest Pitbull with the flaming lips. That's just like a thing where they're just like, let's get all the super talentless people over with at once. Flaming Lips. And look, I love the Flaming Lips so much. They kicked my boy out. They kicked my boy out, Cliff. A pox on them all. A pox on the Flaming Lips. I hope a pox falls on Oklahoma City and it rots them out from the inside. What do you think about that, Mike? What do you think about this new pox thing I'm doing, right? You like it? Because I'm telling you, Mike, I thought about it. I'm declaring war on everybody who talks into a GD microphone at this point. Sick of it. Losing. I can't stand but lose. Every time, everything I do, I lose. I'm a born loser, Mike. But you know what? Someday a loser like me, even the losers win some. What's that thing? What's that song, Mike?
Even the losers even, get lucky.
But I don't want to get lucky.
Oh, sorry.
Thank you want to win.
You want to get up on that, Mike.
Oh, yeah. Well,
here you go. I want to just be a straight-up winner. You know what I mean, Julie Klausner?
Yeah.
Star of Difficult People?
Do you always react like that when people say that?
Sometimes I just throw up.
Now, caller. Caller, what's your name?
This is John.
John. I did an escape room in Los Angeles with Hayes Davenport featuring... Sorry. Mm-hmm. Got to work your way
it's
up
first
to the...
Year. It's his first
featuring.
Year.
Featuring.
Oh,
yeah,
his
sure.
first season.
Yeah.
Hayes Davenport. Like, he sounds like he's scared sometimes, didn't he? Sound like he was almost scared. Don Pardo.
At the featured players? Do you think they hazed him?
It sounded like he was like, Hayes Davenport. Like, he was just like... Well, that, like, there was water filling up in Don Pardo's booth, and he's like, hey, he's driving
for... Or, like, he was a ghost, kind of.
Well, he was... Yeah, well...
I thought that they had to haze him.
Uh-huh.
Not haze.
No.
But, like, featured players had to haze Jimmy Pardo in order to be regular
Jimmy
players.
Jimmy Pardo.
Yeah.
Oh, I mean...
Yeah, it's Jimmy Pardo. The new announcer for Saturday Night Live.
They must be related somehow, right?
Yeah, well, they're brothers. They're brothers.
Yeah. Now I'm not going to get into it.
But anyway, that's why Danny Pardo.
Danny Pardo now.
Is that Danny Pudi? Are you thinking of Danny Pudi?
That's why he always seems so scared. Because they were going to prank him. So it's
so they're just worried.
Right. So it's like,
Sincere's a made up. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So caller?
Yes.
Before Julie says another Pardo incorrectly, let's get to this.
Dolly Pardo?
Dolly Pardo would be.
Pardo.
Do you think Don Pardo ever went for Halloween as Dolly Parton and called himself? I'm Dolly Pardo this year.
During the Gene Demanian.
Trick or treat.
Julie.
No, I almost hung up. I was so close to hanging up on that.
No, that was, gotta give it to John. That was committed.
Yeah, that was good.
That was a big swing.
Yeah. Oh, did it. How did he get up the courage to do
that? Did it. You know that's hanging up fodder, but you made it. So I was in Los Angeles with my friend Hayes Davenport, a co-host of Hollywood Handbook. Earwolf's Hollywood Handbook.
Is that how I sounded before?
That's how you sound.
Are you familiar with Hollywood Handbook, John?
Oh, yeah. Love it.
You do, right? Mm-hmm. So we did this escape room, and the theme was that it was like, yeah, it's the 40s. It's an old gumshoe thing, right?
What?
And you just did the thing Julie did. He just went, blah, blah.
Oh, my God. Between the two of you.
So then we're doing this thing, and I was so out of sorts in this thing, because I'm just bad with, like, puzzles like that. I don't like puzzles. I just don't like them. I don't like puzzles.
What about small rooms full of people
I don't
swarming
know.
Around you? Yeah.
People I haven't met yet?
Yeah.
So I'm in this thing, and then there's this bored, there's one person in the room, the receptionist, who's just like, she's just like, she just looks like a pinup girl kind of look. Like, they're like, hey, she has that look now. And they're just like, hey, why don't you be a receptionist in this gumshoe thing? So she would just once in a while say things like, so disinterested. She was just like, at one point, she sees me floating around with this clipboard, trying to figure something out. And she's like, why don't you look at the numbers on the airplanes? on the desk, there were these, like, miniature airplanes that had, like, coordinates written on them. And I'm just like... And so I spent the next 40 minutes writing down the coordinates, trying to figure something out. And the airplanes meant nothing for the thing.
Right.
You didn't pass along. You're supposed to share that information with the group.
Oh, I did. There was some dude I was sharing it with. I was just like, hey, what... Is this?
Like,
you think this is something?
You're like, look, and then you showed him your notebook paper.
You think this is
a
thing?
It was all like Charles Crumb's notebook.
Yeah, and then
you're like, does this mean anything?
But I will say this: earlier in the thing, I feel like I lost interest in the entire experience because there was a bookshelf, and they told us at one point, it's like, notice the books, Like, not all, don't go super deep into the books.
Yeah, they told us specifically not to do the thing that you did, which was become obsessed with the books.
I was not obsessed at all with the books, but when I'm seeing this authentic 40s gumshoe office, and then I see a Susan Powder book, I was like, oh, I can't concentrate anymore. That was enough to take me out of it for the entire thing. Like, Susan Powder, like, what was her thing?
Stop
like?
Stop the insanity.
It was so I'm just like.
Stop the insanity, kid.
Yeah. Yeah, she. Yeah, you're eating too many carbs, see? So, when that happened, I was like, are we caught in some, is this like a Star Trek time warp thing we're caught in where I figured the loophole out?
Did you ask that to the pinup?
No, because she was so, she would have just gone, no, it's not. Just focus on the planes on the desk. She was so bored. It was so annoying.
And she was very superior about like knowing the answers to things.
Yeah. Because like, you work here.
It's your job.
you should know the answers. You do 12 of these a day, and you watch people. And then the group, which I will not take credit for being a part of that group. I was as out on my own as could be. There were like 27 elements that had
27 steps.
And
yeah.
25, the group figured out 25.
Yeah, although the last one is just like put the key in the lock. And so I figured that one out first, actually. Yeah. And so I would say we actually figured out 26. We just didn't get the key.
The final one didn't get the key.
Yeah.
Well, caller?
Yeah.
Thanks, buddy. Julie Klausner.
I'm just picturing this scene and... Everyone's working on one side of the room, and then you're just like looking at the bookcase in the corner.
I swear there was a point when I was just like, I'm contributing so little to this. I'm actually subtracting from the ability of the rest of these people to solve things. Because, like,
at least you're getting out of the way.
The energy I was putting off was like full on incompetence. Just like, you know, when you're somewhere and somebody. Doesn't know what, like when you go to a store and then like, I went to look at storage lockers the other day, right? Cause I got a lot of stuff. I'm just like, maybe I got to drop some of this stuff in a storage locker. And it was the guy's first day at it, at the storage locker. And I got to say this, Mike, you know anybody who works at a storage locker? That is a weird, that attracts some grade A weirdos with that storage locker thing. So this guy was so new at it, and he was like, I ended up showing him where the locker was. Like, I was just like, so we're looking for locker 2458. I'm just like, well, I think that might be upstairs in one of these. And because he's like, okay, let's see here. Oh, where's the locker 2458? And he was going to, like, walk off into – I was like, well, why don't we just go up in this building?
It's going to get in his car.
Oh, we're looking for 2458. Can't find it. And then – but he was so flustered and so – I felt so bad. Mm-hmm. I was like, you're doing a good job. It's your first day. You're doing an all right job. And then he proceeded to give me the hardest of hard sells to try to, like – show his boss that he could, like, I belong here. So now I'm trapped by a guy pressing so hard to get me to overpay for what? Empty space.
He wanted you to get a bigger locker?
Yeah, he was just like, so it was basically saying.
It's like, now that we're here at 2488, I'd like to tell you about 3599.
I wanted to. And then it's that point, you know, when those you have those thoughts like, what's the worst thing I could do right now? It's like, well, shove this guy in a locker and lock him in there. And then, like, run out. And then like, the boss would see me just leaving the storage lot and be like, oh, I guess he didn't do the locker. What happened to that guy, that new employee? And he's inside going, it's my first day. How could this be? Like, for him, it would be a thing he'd never forget for the rest of his life. You'll never believe. Like, he'd be telling his grandkids, it was my first day at work, and this guy shoved me in a locker and ran out. So, Julie Klausner, @JulieKlausner on Twitter.
Yeah, yeah.
star, creator, writer of Difficult People on Hulu, right? How are you?
Okay.
HayesDavenport.com.
Oh, yeah.
Is it, you know, it's not,
my dad bought it for me.
He did?
Oh, yeah. It's sitting there.
He's squatting on it?
Yeah.
Is he gonna, is he gonna like gouge you on it? Like, son, I want $50,000 for HayesDavenport.com.
He set it up as like a fan, like okay. a fake fan page yeah. for me.
So it's, but, it's yeah. not like a porn thing.
It's one of those that like, just has a yeah. message for me on the front page. It says like, if you'd like this website.
Yeah. Contact.
Your mother.
Call this number. And it's like, that's your number. Co-host of Hollywood Handbook. Mm. One of the best podcasts going, right, Julie?
I liked right. your the nip-tuck commentary.
Yeah, I like how...
it was like episode 4, season 8. It was yeah, the most...
I was reading Podmas the other day. Well,
what was that?
Yesterday. I was talking Podmas.
Podmas, what's that?
It's like the New Yorker.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
It's like probably the premier podcast discussion forum on the internet. Uh-huh.
okay.
And they talk about us every
but like professional okay. critics, like yeah. professional critics.
Yeah. Oh, that's funny because I heard of that. I used to be in it a lot and I haven't been, I've been in it twice since the show has come back. Oh, that reminds me that a pox on the AV club people. I wish a pox falls on all their, a plague on all their families.
Pox fall, I thought it was that they would have like chicken pox. Is it a pox?
That's how they get it, is it falls on
a part of the pox.
A single pox?
A part of the pox. I hope they're opening like, ooh, there's books in here, free books. And then just the pox shoots out in their face.
Yeah.
It's a book. It's called The Pox. And then they're like, all right, who wants to review The Pox? And then like
don't open that. Someone knows.
Five
someone
hands can shut Dan, up on them.
Yeah, Dan Fitchett opens the thing and then the pox gets
it's
him.
It's just a boxing glove on a spring.
And it's the boxing glove is like
covered
in
with
the,
like
in the
powder.
Pox. Yeah. Yep. The pox. When I was, Horatio Sanz invited me to go to Saturday Night Live a long time ago. He's like, hey, why don't you come? We'll get tickets for you in the studio audience. And it was the week that the anthrax got sent up.
Mm-hmm.
So I was kind of like,
yeah.
Well, I guess this is my chance to sit in the studio audience, but I don't know if I'll die.
Mm-hmm.
Like if there's anthrax in like the vents at 30 Rock. Like, I'll go.
It was worth it.
It was worth it. I got to see
Steve Ranazzisi.
Steve Ranazzisi was there. He was his
host and host and musical.
He was hosting, and he was like so shaken up.
Yeah,
right.
He had just escaped.
Right, and like
he was the rubble rider.
I think he's at.
He rode the rubble.
Uh huh.
Down. Remember, there was a story of the guy in 9/11 who rode the rubble.
I thought that was like a surf song.
Rubble rider. Steve Ranazzisi is rubble rider.
He's gonna have a bad pilot season.
And this was his big one because the league is just ending.
I know.
So
they
say, like, here I come.
Yeah.
Steve, you're gonna be on the market. It's gonna be great. His agent's just like, I've been waiting to finally get you out there and show people what Steve.
It's like, in a way, it's sad the league is over, but thank God the league is over because now you're available for.
Yeah, and we're going to get you out there. We're going to do a full
movies,
court press.
What is your grown-ups?
He's just like, well, I'd really like to do like a fun family sitcom, but I would also like for this 9/11 thing to kind of fall out of the narrative. Steve Ranazzisi narrative. Can we... Is there a way to transition that out of the discussion forever?
Hmm.
And you know the whole thing. I've talked about this before. If it wasn't for Pauly Shore,
mm-hmm.
Pauly Shore was the one who was just like, you talked about, because he bragged in like a bar to Pauly Shore.
What? Is that true?
Yeah. Right, isn't that how it started?
Are you
yeah,
serious?
Because it's part of his show business narrative.
That he
was Pauly Shore's?
No, Steve's. That's like why.
Right, that's his claim to fame.
And then he was hanging out at a bar.
With Pauly Shore?
With Pauly Shore.
Is this true?
Yes, it is. And then they did a show together, and Pauly Shore's like, you the guy who did 9/11, right? And then he was like,
He's like, yeah. Like, he,
he's like, well, not really.
The thing he bragged at him on, and what he should have done is said, I don't know what you're talking about, Paulie. He should have just hung him out to dry, made Paulie Shore look crazy that night, and been like, I have no idea what you're talking about. You told me, but you told me the story. That guy, Paulie Shore.
He really, that's fascinating.
He gave Sean the business. Remember on Hollywood Handbook?
Oh, that was iconic. In fact, I think Split Sider had a, you know,
36
the sly chapter. Genius of Paulie Shore's appearance on Hollywood Handbook.
I think it was not called the sly genius, it was like the sad, horrifying nightmare. Like, it was not a positive.
But you knew while you were doing it, even though I'm sure you were in terrible pain, that it was going to be something that people loved, right? Or you couldn't even think that far.
I don't think in the moment that's what we were thinking at all. He was giving us the wrap it up signal all the way through the thing.
When Paulie Shore was a guest on your show.
Yes.
He clearly had no idea what the show was.
It was
amazing. Well, we were briefing him on it beforehand.
And then he said during the interview, he's like, my publicist. Like, he just like.
And when we were describing the show to him, he was like, okay, well, what if I just got up and left?
He
like
said
during
that.
The thing. Like, as,
like it would be
funny threat.
Or?
No, oh, I think oh, like what okay. would, you know, what would happen? I guess I would just be gone.
Mm-hmm. my favorite part.
What happens when people leave.
My favorite part of that interview is not when he said like a homophobic terrible thing and Sean like completely went with it.
Yeah.
Yes anded his like his unique hatefulness.
Yeah.
But when you guys played the Popcorn Gallery song and he said, hey Paulie, do you like that? And he goes, I don't know like current stuff. He was like, I'm not up on pop culture. And you're like,
Ranazzisi, you're coming back, buddy. This is what I'm going to do. I'm buying low on this guy. Ranazzisi?
Sure. I think this is a good time to get in.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Because when this guy pulls a Robert Downey Jr.
Yep.
and is pulling that $20 million a movie when he plays...
Iron Man?
When he takes over the Iron Man role. When RDJ hands the mask over,
mm-hmm.
and he's like...
Hands over the Whopper.
He hands over the Black Whopper.
All I remember was him eating that hamburger.
Whoppers? How about these? Does anybody see these Black Whoppers? Can you imagine eating a Black Whopper?
No.
It's like the bun is soaked in A1 sauce. Mike, would you eat a Black Whopper? What? Yeah, I'll pay you $30. How about that? We'll get next week. I'll give you $30 if you eat a Black Whopper. That's where the show's at now. Will I get any money for it? I can't wait. I'm shutting this whole operation down. Why don't you guys pick what you want in the room? Everybody just pick. Take one thing. This is the final best show. Pick it. You want the board? Who calls dibs on the board? I went to McDonald's, right, because they had breakfast every day, and I'm just like, this is how dumb...
You were suckered into the idea of getting...
I haven't eaten that garbage breakfast in years.
Yeah.
But just because it was available after 10 a.m., I'm just like, whoa, I got to get in on that. Took almost a half hour at night for them to get me an Egg McMuffin that I pulled the meat off of. Almost a half hour. And the woman said to me, it's taking a long time. I know it's taking a long time. That's because we're cooking the eggs and... She said, that's because we're cooking the eggs and we're toasting the muffin. I'm like, that's all there is to do on this thing. It's like, that can't be some wrinkle that got thrown at you. Just like, if only the eggs and the muffin part of this thing. It's like, there's no other part to
it. When you picked out the meat, was there a raccoon right there ready to catch it in the parking lot?
Do they know you? Like when you walk out of McDonald's?
Is there a raccoon wearing like a baseball glove and like a catcher like position that's like, oh, I know this guy. He drops the meat.
Well, considering that I don't have a TV and I don't eat it fast food places like McDonald's. No, I have a TV. I love a TV, right?
I have a TV means different now than it did when it meant I don't watch TV. Because I think that's the way people being like, Oh, I watch TV. I just don't have a TV. Well,
what they're saying is I have a worse TV, and it's called my laptop.
I have a Roku.
Right? Like my, I don't have a nice TV. I have a terrible TV, and it's also the thing I do my work on as
is
well.
Is a Roku like, box?
I have a smaller, dirtier TV.
I have a TV.
I have a TV with, like, fingerprints and, yeah. and, and yeah. hair like, on the screen.
And, like, crumbs yeah. on the yeah. bottom. Yeah. But you can't reach the crumbs.
Yeah. You know when you're watching TV and then, like, messages from work pop up on it and yes, other things? Yeah. That's how my TV works. It's like I'll be watching TV and then, like, a little email pops up in the corner of my TV.
Yeah,
lets me know. Yeah, I don't eat that often at McDonald's, but that holy, that Egg McMuffin was super disgusting. And I was just like, what made me think it was going to be any different just because it was at night? Like, oh, boy, this... this is delicious at night. It's so, like unmelted cheese. Like, no pride. No pride.
You also kind of probably want to wait until the growing pains of like shifting
the
food
schedule. Like the storage when the food storage guy wasn't.
Yeah, when the food goes in and out of the freezer is like fully clarified.
Oh, yeah.
You're an early adapter to
the whole thing. I'll tell you this. There were people at that thing. Not lined up, but there were definitely people there just
like
trying on the breakfast for size at night. I was not alone in that. But look at that Chick-fil-A on, what's that, on like 38th Street,
yeah.
right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's a line outside. I went past this morning. It was like at 10, quarter after 10, there were people lined up.
It's a novelty. Yeah. It's like if there's like a Piggly Wiggly on 14th Street, it would, there'd be a line around the corner.
Just because there's one of them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I remember there was like a, in my town, like a White Castle opened up. And it was like, you guys know there's one 20 minutes down the highway. Why are people lined? It's like, oh, the burgers are here. it's not like we're in the...
Right.
Like we're in the country
the Wells Fargo wagon rolls into town.
Here he comes. We'll get salt and nice fabric, right, for you. You can make a dress out of the fabric. It's like, no, it's White
People
Castle.
People come in selling their burgers, too, at White Castle.
Oh, like it's a country fair?
Like
it's a swap meet?
Yeah.
People go to the White Castle with a basket of their burgers and ask them to taste them. Can I sell my burgers here?
Hey, Mike. Seriously, next week we'll set this Black Whopper thing up. Okay? What's that? Oh, I don't worry. I know there's a Burger King nearby. I'm not doubting the availability of these things. Are you worried at all that it'll be haunted? The Black Whopper will be haunted? Like you're eating a ghost, basically? Does that worry you, Mike?
It's not pumpernickel.
No. What would make you think Burger King would just be like, well, let's up the quality of this. We need a black bun. Like at Burger King, they're like, all right, what about a black bun for this thing? Should we do like a high grade bun with it and bread? They're like, nah, let's soak it in A1 sauce.
Which is not really black.
No, it's
kind of brown.
Like it's like an ox blood.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's an ox. Yes, that's the color of A1 sauce.
That would be a smart form for Venom to take. If Venom is like trying to inhabit people's bodies now, it must be very easy for him.
You mean the
Venom,
Spider-Man's suit, space rival,
the alien that becomes
he's a symbiote,
a suit, yeah,
right? Symbiote, how do you say it, Julie?
What?
You know, Spider-Man, Venom, you know what we're talking about here, right?
Cymbalta.
Cymbalta. The phone number is 201-332-3484. I'm here with Julie Klausner and Hayes Davenport. Julie is the star of Difficult People. You can watch season one is up on Hulu right now, right?
Mm-hmm.
They're not taking it down.
No.
No, it's up. But there will not be a season two, true or false?
That's false.
That's false. There will be a season two.
You worked on season two.
I did a little bit.
Yeah.
When will that film?
In December.
Oh, it's a good time. That's good filming weather.
It's the best.
That's good because then it's like,
cold.
Hey, the camera's frozen.
Yep.
When you and Billy Eichner are doing all your
acting,
your fun walk and talks, and
a lot of walk and talks.
Going to the set, there was one time I went to the set, mm-hmm. and it had snowed so much recently, and you guys are like, and then you need to
like action. You're like, what's the deal with Mr. Bubble?
and then it's like, and cut. You're like, because
they come over with like, they have, you know, those warm, those packets that you break and then you put on your gloves and they're right up against your skin.
Yeah.
Like camping stuff they give you. And
just to try. But you have to dress as if it's not the dead of winter. It's like some amorphous New York, almost like late fall is how you're dressing.
Sure.
But it was mid-January
it was cold.
After that enormous snowstorm. Mm-hmm. And you guys are just like, you guys were very cold. Let's see. And now Hayes Davenport, Hollywood Handbook.
Yeah.
On the Earwolf Network,
mm-hmm.
compatriot of other shows like
Don Pardo's Funny Don, All the Time.
Don Pardo's
funny all the time.
Yeah, you hear that, Podmas? And look, Podmas, don't lump Hayes in with my thing. I'm cooked already. I know you guys don't want me anymore. Hollywood Handbook.
They're not.
Is your
they,
new
they're,
thing.
No, we're in there all the time.
What do they say about you?
They enjoyed the Nip Tuck episode, but they assumed that this was an episode where we just did a commentary track for an episode of Nip Tuck, but they assumed that a guest had canceled, and it was like a last second thing, but it was actually something we'd been planning to do for a long time.
It's like that part of that recap where it's like, this is what probably happened behind the scenes.
And they don't know what they're talking about.
They're speculating, like.
You're assuming a lot by saying, like, that you would send your POX package to their office, and it would, like, they would, like, all be there instead of, like, 15 different coffee shops.
I'm looking, I'm picturing them doing one of, like, their things where they're just like, we got pumpkin Oreos and we're doing a taste test.
Yep.
Or, hey, Beach House is coming through. Beach House is going to play a Styx song.
You know, in our near our vending machine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love Yay V Club, but.
Oh yeah.
I'm coming for you.
You gotta love
it. I'm going into full fight mode. Everybody who was signed off on before now has to with this show. Nobody's cool with me anymore. Right now, the only two people who are cool with the best show are Julie and Hayes.
Oh wow.
That's it. We're starting over. It's war with anybody who talks into a microphone. Which podcaster could, who would be the toughest podcaster in a fist fight? Straight up fist fight. Who would be like it would be Joe Rogan? Would he like beat all people in fights?
I would like to have a physical fight with Gilbert Gottfried. Because I think he'd bite. It would be fun.
Hello, podcasters.
I would
it's
like
Gilbert Gottfried.
I like his podcast.
I do too.
I think
I like
it's
it
funny.
Lot.
I think it probably is Joe Rogan, but I'm going to say Jake Fogelness, so like maybe he would fight Joe Rogan at some point.
So you want to see...
It's like a cage, you know, get in the octagon, Rogan and Jake Fogelness.
If we're doing some sort of like tour, like March Madness chart, you want to see like Jake pull some weird upset in a bracket to where suddenly it's just like, he's like, who am I fighting? What? Oh, no.
You know who I could beat, like, hands down?
Who?
Is the guy from the mental illness.
Happy Hour?
Yeah, him.
Mm-hmm.
Who's that?
I don't know. Paul
you think
something.
You could beat him? I'm trying to think who I could beat. Mike, who could I beat up in podcasting?
Hodgman.
Who?
Hodgman.
Hodgman. I think I could knock Hodgman out. I'm going to say that. Look, I love him. But when these podcast things go down, I think I could handle him. Hardwick, no. I think Hardwick,
Wiley.
Doesn't he seem like one of those guys that, like, you challenge him to a fight, and he'd be like, okay, and then he'd take off his shirt, and he has, like, 16 abs, and, like, just a
it's funny.
Bizarrely
and
weird
I thought
shit.
You were...
He's, like, slapping it. He's like, burr, 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 burr. And I'm just like, oh, no! He's gonna murder me! Jonah Ray, I could beat up, right?
Yes.
Sean and Hayes from Hollywood Handbook versus another podcast duo. Who's another duo?
Duos.
Paul Scheer would beat me up.
Ron and Beverly would beat up Sean and Hayes.
You think so?
Mm-hmm.
Who's a podcast duo? Why can't I think of anybody?
They're the Who Charted guys.
Okay.
Howard is a pretty big, strong guy.
Uh-huh. So Howard Kramer.
Yeah.
And
Kulop.
And Kulop. Which one? Sean versus Hayes. Who takes Howard Kramer on?
Sean.
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 Yeah, for sure.
Okay.
No doubt.
Is this good, Mike?
It's
okay. Yes. Hold on 1 second. I'm being told I have a guest on the line. We have.
Oh, my gosh.
Yes. We have a director on the line, a super fancy director. His name is Rob Hatch Miller, and he's the director of the Syl Johnson documentary.
Yes? Hi, Tom.
Are you? Hi, Rob. Yes. How are you?
I'm good. This is my first time calling into the new and improved best show.
It is. I know you used to run the what was called, what, the rest show? Is that what people call it?
It started off as Man and Wacky Man.
Man and Wacky Man, which where it was you, Rob Hatch Miller, paired with Wally Wacky Man.
Everybody's favorite.
Rest in peace. Right? R.I.P. Rest in puppetry. He's not with us anymore, Wally Wacky Man. He passed away.
I didn't hear about that.
Natural causes.
Sorry to hear.
It's sad. It's sad, but to everything, turn. There is a season. So you did that. Then
yes.
It was called, people started calling it, it would be, if there was a show I could not make, and then you guys would fill in, and it would be you and Mike and the crew.
And yeah, a variety of whoever was willing to show up last minute.
Yes.
Some people called it the Hatch Patch.
The Hatch Patch.
It wasn't crazy about that name.
No, but you didn't like the Hatch Patch.
I did not, but, you know.
Sounds like the Secret Garden or something like that, that show with Paula and remember
Magic,
the show?
Magic
Garden. But it was like, yes, but it was the Hatch Patch makes it sound like there were puppets on it, actually. Actually, Hatch Patch should have been the name of Man and Wacky Man. Should have been
there were that. It's true.
It like, hey, I'm going to the Hatch Patch now, and we got Wally Wackyman pops up from behind a bush.
Hey, Rob.
Hey, how's it going? But again,
that's
I don't want
to
make
soon to be doing that.
It is. I don't want to make fun of the deceased. I'm so sorry that Wally Wackyman passed away. It's sad. I did not have a chance to do a full eulogy for him yet. We're going to do a special 3-hour best show tribute to one of the greats, the late, great Wally Wackyman. All I'm doing is staring at Twitter waiting for him to flip out. That's the only reason I'm saying this stuff. I'm still alive! Wally, you're still alive. I know. I love you, Wally. We all love you. You felt bastard. Right? You purple bastard.
Nobody live tweets SNL better than Wally Wackyman.
Yes. Nobody burns every cast member of SNL holds them to a higher standard than Wally Wackyman, holding them, wanting to know why, wanting to know why the attention teachers and students sketch seems to be going on a little too long. Now, Rob Hatch Miller, you've now left behind the microphone and in its place you've donned the monocle and the bullhorn and the cap that a director wears.
Yes.
You directed this documentary, and I've seen this documentary. It's called Syl Johnson, colon, right, colon?
There's a colon, punctuation.
Yes. Anyway the Wind Blows.
Which is the name of the song that he sang.
Yes. And this movie is really great. It's about the R&B singer Syl Johnson and his
his kind of like, he kind of, it's like his battle to make it in his career and his battle with himself, I think.
Much like you, Tom, he's a man who could not win.
Oh, he couldn't win. Oh, don't tell me. Oh, you're going to end up making that movie next.
Well.
Tom Sharpling, Everything Must Go. Right? It'll just be me with everything on a blanket. Out on St. Mark's Place.
And that already is a movie.
Yeah. They sue you for copyright infringement.
Everything on a blanket.
I get sued by Will Ferrell's lowest grossing movie. And that shuts my dock down. Now, this movie, you've been working on this for how many years now, Rob?
It's been almost 6 years.
Oh, my God.
Since the first thing we shot for it.
Oh, and now this movie, finally. Is that your
was
cat?
Is that a kitty?
That
is
was
that
my
goose?
Cat, Goose.
Is that Goose?
Yeah, she had to, get right up against the phone.
Is Goose on the loose?
She is on the loose.
The goose is a cat, correct?
That's correct.
Yes. The goose.
Hi, Hatch.
Hi, Julie. Hi, Hayes.
Hi, Hatch.
How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you.
This is good radio.
Syl Johnson, Any Way the Wind Blows. 6 years ago you started working on, now finally, it is done.
It is done. It's hard to believe. When we finished the color correction and posted the file online, I didn't really know what to do. It's a strange feeling to have worked on something that long.
And now people are going to have a chance to see it. Where can people see it? And when and where?
The film premieres this Sunday night in Chicago at the Chicago Film Festival.
Oh.
It's playing in downtown Chicago. I believe it's close to sold out, but I believe there are some tickets left.
All right.
And you can go to our website, syljohnsonmovie.com, if you want to get some of the last tickets.
All right.
Sunday night at, I think, 7:15, if I'm not mistaken, in downtown Chicago. I'll be there in person along with the other filmmakers and Syl Johnson and some people who are featured in the movie, like the guys from Numero Group, who best show listeners know, they put out the great Sharpling and Worcester box set.
That's true.
They put out the Syl Johnson box set.
Two of the all-time best box sets.
They are fantastic. My top three Numero Group releases: Best Show box set, Syl Johnson box set, Purple Snow box set. That's the Minneapolis.
I love it.
Prince music scene box set.
I like that one album they put out by the dude who sings songs about motorcycles, but he sounds like Jim Gaffigan.
I don't think I have that one.
It's pretty good. It sounds like if Jim Gaffigan recorded an album about being in a motorcycle gang.
I'm going to have to figure out what that one is.
I don't know what it was called. I listened to it. I liked it a lot. So now this documentary, Syl Johnson, Any Way the Wind Blows, this Sunday, the world premiere.
That's correct. Sunday night. There's still some tickets left. We're also going to have a free after party at the Virgin Hotel in downtown Chicago on Sunday night with the Numero Group guys DJing. Who knows? Maybe Syl will come out and party afterwards. I have no idea what's going to happen there.
There's no guarantees because he's bonkers.
Syl is a character.
He is. He's great. Would you say he's like the Wally Wackerman of R&B? Is there any comparison to make there?
No. I would have to think about that a little bit more before I committed to the description.
Now, where else can people see this movie, Rob Hatchmiller? Where else?
We're also showing it on Saturday, October 24th in Chicago. Mm-hmm. If Sunday nights doesn't work out for anybody out there in Chicago, and then we're showing it in Memphis, Tennessee, home of High Records, where Syl and Al Green recorded a lot of their best music. That's on November 8th at 4 p.m. That's at the Indie Memphis Film Festival, which is a great film festival. They showed the Big Star documentary a few years ago. Lots of other good stuff. They're showing tons of great films this year. We're really excited about it. We're working on putting together a event with Phil after the show on November 8th. Can't really tell the details of that yet since it's not set in stone, but that's looking like something exciting will happen after the film screening in Memphis. And then tomorrow we'll be announcing that there will be two screenings right here in New York City in November. That's all I'm allowed to say.
Okay. But, wow. So Chicago, Memphis, and New York.
That's correct. And then more places to come after that. People can find the movie on Twitter at Syl Johnson Movie or Facebook.com/Syl Johnson Movie or just go to the website Syl Johnson Movie, and we'll be posting news of all the cities that it's coming to play in.
Awesome. And I've seen the movie. It's great. It's a really fantastic story, and you did such a fantastic job telling a great story. Congratulations on finishing something that you spent so many years working on, and people are going to love it.
Thank you. Wasn't RZA great in it? RZA from the Wu-Tang Clan
is
in the movie.
Yes, RZA's so good. He's awesome. I love the RZA.
He's not in a lot of documentaries.
No.
So.
And he's in this. He's only in this and the documentary about the late great Wally Wackerman. The RZA talked about how he considered Wally Wackerman to be the, after Capadonna, he considered him to be the 10th Wu-Tang member. And he's not with us anymore. Why won't he get mad on Twitter? Why can't he? He must not be. This is so infuriating.
Is he actually he's dead?
Not, he, well, maybe that's why.
What would that be?
Oh, no.
God.
You know what that would make me do? It would make me realize I got some power and I'm going to start using it. And then all of a sudden, what if I heard after that?
Put like seven times more boxes.
You're like Sphere. It's like you are in the Sphere.
Was that the... No, that's Torque. I was going to say the movie.
What was
no, that's
Sphere.
Ice Cube played Torque. Remember that movie?
Peter Torque?
Yeah, he was in the Peter Torque story. Ice Cube. He was like, remember when Peter Torque was arguing with that Coors Light can when they were recording?
And he was like, my head is like a shark's fin.
They were recording Peter Percival's pet pig pet Porky. Pig, pop,
pop, pop. He wears the beanie.
That was LL Cool J.
Cube in that green beanie. I guess that was Michael
that
Nesmith.
Was Michael
but they
Nesmith.
Just, but well, they got
we
it wrong.
Want to correct, yeah. Yeah.
Well, the movie, it's the movie's mistake.
Yeah.
It's the movie's mistake. But I'll say this. A, Wally Wackerman's still alive.
Did he just tweet?
He did not. Oh. I believe he's still alive.
That's
B, he was not a member of... The RZA has no idea who Wally Wackerman is. That was... I made that up. C, watch this one. C... The Syl Johnson movie. See? It's the letter C, but it's actually the word C. C. If I was in L.A., the movie's not in L.A., but if it was in L.A., this is what I would do. I would see the movie with some C's candy. I would go to the C's candy store on La Cienega, and then I'd sneak a box of...
I don't think it's an L.A.-specific candy.
But... Oh, it is. The store, but the way,
oh,
the,
it's
the
made
factory,
it. Oh, it's a specialty.
The chocolate factory is there on
La
Cienega.
You're going to want to go to the C's star.
Yeah. You can't get C's out here.
No.
Hayes.
Not at the mall.
You can't really get one of those garbage clusters.
No. One of those. Yeah.
One of those. It's got just it's mostly glucose.
You ever go in the C's store?
No. I've been
did.
To the airport, like,
yeah,
the little kiosk.
The little wagon that's set up at
like
Hudson News.
Sometimes it's just a bookshelf they got at IKEA. They put they're like, I'm selling them. And no one told them to leave.
Yeah, and I'm just like, yeah, I'll have one of these on the plane. 2 pounds of chocolate? Yeah, I think I can knock this off on one flight. And then I'm just like, then I get off the plane, you know what I do? Mm. Go right to Wally Wackerman's grave. And lay some flowers down. No, he's alive. What? How did this terrible rumor start that he died? Mike?
It's in Hollywood forever. It's like that one that Johnny Ramone has.
It's like a full-size statue. It's a giant statue of Wally Wackerman. Mike, I'm commissioning you now to investigate where this... spurious rumor started that Wally Wackerman is dead. And I want you to leave no stone unturned. Okay? Find out who started this and you let me know. I want a report on my desk. What's that? You will.
He's asking about money again.
This guy with the money. Well, can I get money for eating a Black Whopper? Can I get money for doing the report? Yeah, you'll get money. I'll give you $4,000 for doing the report. Okay? You happy? I'll give you a check for $4,000. Does that make you happy? You money grubber. Right? This guy with the money. He's got more money than God. He wants to know where all the money is. It's always the guys with all the money want more of it. The rich get richer. The poor get the picture. The words of who? Peter Garrett from Midnight Oil. So the Syl Johnson documentary, Anyway the Wind Blows.
Is Peter Garrett related to Brad Garrett?
I want to talk about that so badly right now.
They're like, they're kind of the same type.
Out where the river blows.
Oh.
The sun red and the red out, right?
Now say something Peter. You would say to Ray Romano.
Ow, what's that?
Now do
okay.
Him talking to Ray.
So they would be like the Garrett family.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thanksgiving and be like, please pass the cranberry sauce. And he'd be like, hey, you want me to pass the cranberry sauce? I'll pass you the cranberry sauce. I'll tell you, Raymond. I don't know why Raymond wants me to pass the cranberry sauce. Nobody with the cranberry sauce. Why is this guy always asking me to pass the cranberry sauce? Mom always likes him to pass the cranberry. I would like some dark meat. Please pass the turkey. I don't want you to pass the turkey. Syl Johnson, Anyway the Wind Blows, is going to be
in. There we go.
There we go. It comes all the way back. Somebody's saying
it's a callback.
It is a callback. It was the most scenic route to get back. In all seriousness, this movie's great. I hope everybody in Chicago goes to see it, and Memphis and New York. Go to at Syl Johnson Movie on Twitter to get more information.
Yes, and look out for the New York screening announcement tomorrow. And we're also going to put out a new trailer for the movie later this week.
I love it. I can't. Congratulations, yeah. Rob. It's really exciting.
Thank you, Tom. Thank you so much. It was great to call in, and I can't wait to call back to the new show again.
All right. I can't wait till you do it, too.
Love to Paloma, too.
Yes.
Oh, she sends it back. Goose says bye, Julie, and bye, Hayes.
Okay.
Thanks, Paloma.
Have a good night.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks, Paloma.
I met her.
No, you did, but somebody's saying that Wally Wackerman ate a Black Whopper, and that's why he died eating a Black Whopper. I hope that's not true. Out where the river blows. Oh, no. Julie's knocking a bulletin board off the wall.
Who was it doing this thing? Raymond. I don't know what I'm going to do here.
He's always so mad at his brother, right? Right?
And in this universe, I guess that's Peter.
Hey, why are you mad at me? Why? I'm just trying to get... Who's the bald guy? Who invited the bald guy to Thanksgiving dinner?
He gets up like a guest starring role in the show.
He had an arc. Yeah. Like my boy, like Kindler. Kindler had an arc on Raymond, right? Mm-hmm. Who's on the line, Mike? Oh, the guy at the Clown Motel. Do you know about
Hello?
This, Julie? Christopher?
I do. I heard last week. It's terrifying.
Christopher?
Yes.
We spoke to you last week.
True.
He didn't have a good reason, right? It was like a dare, or he just thought it would be
funny.
Yeah.
It's a cry for help.
Yeah,
you,
it's all those.
Are you at the Clown Motel right now?
I am. I'm in my room.
And where? What? The Clown Motel is where?
It's in Tonopah, Nevada.
And it's the scary. You're doing this why again? You're staying at this place for a month straight.
Yeah.
Why? I did not get a clear answer on why. Because you did a Kickstarter?
Pretty much. I don't really have a good reason. I just put up a Kickstarter, and I figured if it happened, then I would go do it. And if it didn't, then I wouldn't. Mm-hmm. and it happened. So here I am.
Here we are. And how is it going? Yep. What happened in the past week? How many? You have 3 more weeks there? 2 more weeks?
2 more weeks. This is my official halfway mark today.
And how are you holding up?
I'm okay. Like, I've been, you know, I've had some friends come to visit and making a lot of phone calls. So I'm feeling better about things.
What's the scariest person you've seen walking by?
There's a guy named Jeff who lives, I guess, behind the Clown Motel. He has a little sort of encampment set up. And he comes out every 3 to 4 days and swears at everybody and kind of stalks around, and then he goes back to his hole.
So he pops out of his little what does he have, a little camper or something?
No, it's like a lean-to or something. It's like, I haven't seen it. There's a lot of weird sheds behind the Clown Motel, and I'm not sure what's in them. And I think he lives amongst those.
What's the end game here, Christopher? What are you looking to do? A movie? A book? What are you looking to get out of this?
No, I promised to write a book about it at the end. Like, that was the thing that I promised. So I'm going to do that. And, you know, otherwise the goal is to get out of here in 2 weeks.
So you made a mess to clean up a mess.
Yeah.
You're like an angel of you're like one of those nurses that like pull a tube out of somebody and then rush in, and you're like a fireman who starts a fire to be the first one at a fire.
He's like Morgan Spurlock.
He is like, yes. You're like the Morgan Spurlock of clown motels. You better, what if Morgan Spurlock was listening and suddenly he's like, where's this clown motel?
He's like, already there. He's already in the room. Yeah,
get my crew.
He's standing right behind Christopher with a garrote. Sorry, buddy.
No, sorry, buddy. I've heard much worse things.
This duck business is a bitch. Time to die. Time to die. I'll drain you out in the bathtub. This duck business is rough. And then he's like, hey, it's me, Morgan Spurlock. I'm here spending 30 days in the Clown Motel. Yep. This room's so creepy. There's a dead body in the.
And he makes like he just discovered your body. Oh my god, a dead body. Oh no.
And his hands were already like bloody when he's like.
And they bring back the vegan girlfriend from the movies, where she's like, Morgan.
Oh, she's the best.
I don't what know about this thing. One. Yeah. Morgan.
This thing.
What are you doing?
This thing we're gonna profit off of for the next 15 years. Stop it!
Stop it! What are you doing?
When he ordered that Bert, what did he order? A Whopper? Big Mac? And if they told him to super, if they asked him to supersize it, he would say, yeah, I'll do it. And then remember, he did that documentary, and then McDonald's crumbled, and the whole fast food industry collapsed.
Mm-hmm.
Right, and now we only have
everyone
healthy
eats healthy,
to eat. Right?
And you can only get drive-through salads at places now.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
And he drove he brought down just bad food.
Yeah,
he ended it,
and he made a lot more huge movies.
Yeah, he.
And then he went. And he's like,
it's kind of crazy to think that was his start.
Because he was like, because
do you remember that? It's so crazy.
Well, he was like,
it's like remembering Woody Allen was a stand-up.
Yeah, you know? Yeah.
I was a stand-up. I don't know why people think I stand-up. A moose. The moose was alive. Jerky. Hey, it's me, Saul Rosenberg. Like, he's like the line between hey, jerky boys. Saul Rosenberg and a bad Woody Allen impression is like, it's the same thing.
Uh-huh.
It's anti-Semitic, right? Uh-huh. The Jerky Boys guy, that's anti-Semitic.
I always thought they were Italian, like anti-Italian, no?
Johnny B. Yeah. The one guy was Johnny B, and the other guy was Kamal, who was
it was just racist, like overarching, yeah?
Yeah.
Do you think it's possible that Woody Allen is a non-Jewish person who was caught doing a very offensive impression and then just had to make it his life.
So in like 1961.
Yes.
He was like, first day on your show of shows, he's like, yeah, I can't stand these. Yeah, I can't stand these Jewish people. Here's my watch. Hey, do the thing. And then like somebody's like, they walked, like Sitsies walked in.
They're like, hey, like, want a promotion, kid?
And then he's like, I guess. He goes home. He's like, yeah, I'm still doing that voice when I'm at the office. So I got to do that thing. And next thing you move 58 years later, he's still doing. That's the funniest thing ever, that he's just trapped.
He can't get out of it. Yeah. Though, yeah.
I just wanted a moose.
A moose.
Right? Get the lobster back in the tank. Remember?
You sound like Andrew Dice Clay's wife.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a little of that.
I should do, and I'm pitching this right now to Howl, the premium podcast network. It's a podcast called Dinner with Tom and a whole bunch of his crazy friends. And it'll be me like, well, we're all here at dinner. Who's here with us today?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I see over at the end of the table, it's the Garretts, Brad and Peter.
What's going on?
Out where the river blows. And then it's like, oh, who else is at the table? Oh, it's Woody Allen and Johnny B. from the Jerky Boys doing his Saul Rosenberg impression. A moose. Hey, it's me, Saul Rosenberg. Hey, Jerky. Imagine when you got, when those guys were at the end of the run, when it just like, when it was all like big business, and then it's they must have just been like, you probably got contacted like, hey, the congratulations, the Jerky Boys are going to prank you. We're going to just say, like,
some bullet points.
Yeah. Okay. We're patching you through now. Like you get a call. It's just like, beep, beep. Yeah, it's okay. We're going to patch him through in 15 seconds. How's the signal? How's the line sound? It's like, good. Okay. Three, two. Hey, it's me. I need my car fixed, Jerky. Like, and it's all staged. Just.
And we're on in three.
Yeah. Well, let's do a test. Let's roll that again. You kind of flubbed that line there, Johnny.
Let's get a couple pickups.
Yeah. Let's get some pickups, but we got to keep this guy on the line for tone. All right. Just call him Jerky three times. And go crazy on the third one. Just go nuts on the third Jerky.
Yeah.
And Kumail and Johnny B haven't seen each other for like 2 years.
They're just like, yeah, they're just emailing. Once in a while they email each other. Did some stuff. Like.
Yeah, those emails are not verbose.
No, just kind of like.
A paragraph or two.
That movie, though, was good, though. Mm-hmm. Did you see the Jerky Boys movie?
I know, I missed it.
Do you know who directed it?
Paul Thomas Anderson.
It was Paul Thomas Anderson. It was called the Jerky Boys movie. Then they changed the name to Heartache.
Heartache.
It was. They didn't think it was as marketable. And it was. It was Alan Arkin. Because Alan Arkin's actually in the movie. He plays a mob boss. And he's like, who keeps calling me? These guys are like, it's the dumbest movie ever. Where they're just like, we're going to, let's keep pranking this mob guy. It's so, I need to watch that movie. That just shows
watch
that there's.
Watch it right now.
I don't, that, you know what that movie shows? I still got a puncher's chance in this career because.
Sure.
Any dumb thing they'll throw money at if they think, like, the idea that there's a jerk, that's at some point at a studio, someone's like, yeah, we could do this thing.
The Chester the Cheetah movie.
Chester the. You know what tells me? It's an AP Mike movie, right? Mike, what do you think about that? A movie about you. What? You want to see it? No, I want you in it. Oh, you wouldn't go see it. You wouldn't see about it. You wouldn't see a movie if it was called Lord of Bayonne, right? What if it was called Mad Mike? Mad Mike Bayonne Road, right?
Like Abel Ferrara genre.
We'll get Abel Ferrara to direct it. Yeah. It'll be Mike driving his... It'll be you driving all around Bayonne, right? With white face paint all over. Like we'll spray paint you silver.
Mad Mike Fury Sidewalk.
Oh, and... But Howell, seriously, Howell, if you're listening to this, dinner with Tom and a whole bunch of his crazy, crazy friends.
Yeah. Is Ron Perlman there?
Ron Perlman. What's Ron Perlman sound like again?
He's like, his character, yeah.
Because all I kept thinking of was Rock, it was Sylvester Stallone in Cobra when he's like,
yeah.
This is where the law stops and I start. That'd be a fun podcast, right? Hey, you hear the new Dinner with Tom?
Then and his crazy, and a bunch of his crazy friends.
And a bunch of his crazy friends?
Yeah.
That's when the AV Club will come to, they'll be like,
yeah.
Do you think we can review the podcast again? I'm sorry.
Mrs. Dice Clay.
Yeah, Mrs. Dice Clay. you dunce. You dunce. So, Chris?
Yes?
Are you scared at all at night at this clown motel?
Yeah, nights aren't great. Daytime is fine. But, yeah, it gets extra creepy at night.
When you see that sun going down, are you just like, uh-oh?
Right? Yeah, a little bit. But I've made a ritual now where I go and sit by the old graveyard next to the Clown Motel and watch the sunset, and that's kind of nice.
Mm-hmm. Be safe. That's all. Like I said it last week. I'll say it this week. Be safe.
I will.
All right, buddy. Hey, call me all next right. week, please.
Will do.
All right, bye. My okay. friends, can I just say one thing? Please. Your season-long fantasy football team may be going strong, but you don't have to wait until week 16 to get paid. Put your fantasy skills to the test every week this season at DraftKings.com, America's favorite one-week fantasy football site. With one-week fantasy, there are no season-long commitments. Got an injured player? No problem. It's like a new season every week. You're never stuck with the same players. And get this. DraftKings is crowning a new millionaire every week this season. That means you could turn your love of football into the payday of a lifetime. Just pick your players, pile up the points, and pick up your cash. That's it. Believe me, you've never experienced football like this. This isn't fantasy as usual. This is DraftKings. This is the big time. Hurry to DraftKings.com now. Use promo code BEST, B-E-S-T, BEST, and play for free with your first deposit in this Sunday's $1 million fantasy football contest where first place takes home $100,000. Enter BEST for free entry now only at DraftKings.com, DraftKings.com, DraftKings.com. What was that, Hayes, you were going to say?
I was going to tell a story about the movie Cobra.
Yes.
I went to this Writers Guild thing. It was a screening of Beverly Hills Cop, which I'm not crazy about that movie, but I went to go see it, and the writers were talking afterwards. Mm-hmm. And they said that back in those days, every script that was ever made had to, like, go through Sylvester Stallone. So mm-hmm. they wrote the script for Beverly Hills Cop, and they were like, Sylvester Stallone, do you want to do this movie? Because it was, like, kind of going to be, like, this hard-nosed thriller for a while.
Yeah.
And so they take it to Stallone, and he says, yeah, I'll do it. But it's got to be – the guy's name has to be Cabretti, and his nickname is Cobra.
And then when
and they said, okay, no. Yeah. Yeah, that's awful.
Yeah.
So this was a dream. He dreamed for a long time of doing a movie about a guy whose name was Cabretti. And the movie was going
to
be called
I like that he
Cobra.
Was trying to shoehorn that into everything that yeah. came. Like,
and he did it. He yeah. got his
yeah.
wish.
Yeah. Yeah.
I didn't get my wish this past week. What was that wish? Oh, that wish was to get into the Billy on the Street after party for the season premiere. And look, I was tired by that point. I went to a basketball game earlier with Chris Gethard. We saw your New York Knicks play a Brazilian squad, and they had problems with them for about the first quarter and a half. They had legitimate matchup problems with these guys, who none of which could make an NBA roster. this dude that the Knicks drafted, Porzingis.
Zinga.
Yes, it was. Jim Parsons is on the screen whenever he scores a basket, and he goes, Porzingis, right? He's in a ball pit, and he pops up. A basketball pit, right? That would not be as much fun, a ball pit just filled with basketballs.
I think if you were...
like 10 ratchet. Of them.
Maybe if you were a horse.
They don't move at all.
Like a horse, it would be like a regular ball pit.
And you'd be like, I'm stuck in this basketball pit. I think I might die in here.
What if
it's hot enough that they stick to you when you stand up.
Yeah. What if the guy, I shoved him into that storage locker, and then I opened it. I'm like, hey, I want to let you out. And then I just threw a bunch of basketballs
one by one. It's like a Chinese water torture with basketballs.
I started
it's like a weird saw.
Like over the top of it, I'm reaching over, I'm just dropping. But he's like, hey, whoa, a basketball just fell in here. That's weird. It's dark in here.
Yeah, the first one, he's like, okay.
Yeah. Oh, this will be fun. And then a second one, then suddenly 15 basketballs later, he's like, whoa, it's getting a little tight in here. A little too many basketballs. And so he's like, hey, I think I'm going to – I can't move. I can't move these basketballs. Too many of them. Hey, stop dumping those basketballs in here. It's my first day at the job. So I went to the game, saw this guy Porzingis. And I want to say this. Madison Square Garden, here's my challenge. I want to be courtside. I want to be on, like, Celebrity Row this year. What, like I know, like a – Q level ranking for things, but they had a guy for The Bachelor was on Celebrity Row. It's like you put that loser there. You can't put. I could be there just like put me at like a Timberwolves game that nobody cares about. Like slim pickings already. Yeah, everybody boo me when they show me on the Jumbotron. I'm fine with that. What would it take? Should we? What would it take for me to get that? Bothering the Knicks on Twitter? To be just like, let this guy be on Celebrity Row for your worst game of the season. Right? Why not? So we watch the game. Then I walk over to this Billy on the Street thing. I missed the screening, and I'm watching. I'm going, trying to get into the party. And they're like, oh, you can't. You're not on the list. And then who breezes past me? Oh, Sal from In Practical Jokers. Mike, you should have seen it. It's like, they were just, right this way, Sal. Sal from In Practical Jokers breezes past you. You'd think Jack Nicholson was rolling through the way they let Sal from In Practical. Yes, sir. Right this way. Sal from In Practical Jokers. And I'm standing outside the thing, and all I said to myself was, please. Julie's in there. Please let her leave. And then you're like, yeah, I'm going to leave. And I'm just like, oh, thank God. I'll hang out with you outside of the party.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Well, up there, they were all singing for He's a Jolly Good Fellow to Sal.
They were. So they have, what do they
on
have?
On their shoulders.
Yeah, he was on our shoulders and he was.
Yeah. What do they have? Weird clearance rights or something, so they say.
Yeah.
For his
no, that's just what he
liked.
It was his birthday.
No, it wasn't his birthday. Like, people, it was like the first time I've heard that song, like as it was meant.
Okay.
Oh yeah.
Look, so he's just
a celebration.
It's not a public domain issue where they're just like, "Hey, Sal's here. Oh, Camptown Races, sing that song, doo da, doo da." Right? They're not like, "Bet my money on a bobtail nag." Oh. Do you think when Stephen Foster wrote that, he'd be like, 130 years from now, this song is just going to be a punchline for free music? Like, my music will just be known only because it's free at this point. Mm-hmm. Like, no one will like it. Mm-hmm. It's free. And what do we do about these Hill sisters? Do we, like... Do we, like, go and reinsert Happy Birthday into everything that
but,
it could
but
not
he's
be
a jolly good fellow?
Yeah.
Well, don't you think that there are outtakes where they did do it and they're like, well, maybe if we can afford it and post, but they couldn't.
And they could because, like, they want 150 grand for this thing. That they should be, like, they're, whoever was collecting checks on that should be jailed for living so high on the hog like that.
Put
right?
in a basketball pit.
Yeah, put him in the basketball with the Hill Sisters.
But like the like the slowest one yeah. ever. So like it's like the first day there's just one ball, and then the second yeah. there's two.
Yeah, then that would mess with your head. You'd be like,
yeah,
like that's 4 days, four basketballs in here. There's 5 days. There's five basketballs. Oh no, are they going to keep dropping one basketball a day? Oh, so they breeze Sal past, and this impractical joke. This is the kind of thing I like. For anybody who hasn't seen this show, basically, it's like candid camera on Staten Island at the Staten Island Mall with an episode consists of this. These four Staten Island dudes hanging out at the Staten Island Mall saying things like, and they have headsets and they make each other go do things. They're just like, go eat a French fry from, go grab a French fry from his plate. Like, just like, cause they're like walking around, just like, tell him you got a cold and sneeze in his face. Like, that's what they do on that show.
And they always go, oh, come on. Don't make me do that.
Cause they're like working as like cashiers at a grocery store and they're just like, all right, just, say, like, ask this person, tell them you can't sell them any of the stuff. Like, it's that. Mm-hmm. Tell them that's not for sale.
Yeah, none of these are practical.
Then they're just like, this is not for sale. And then everybody on Staten Island's like, is this impractical? Because at this point, there's one television show on Staten Island.
Oh, yeah, you're the most famous person who lives on this island.
Yes. The king of Staten Island. Yes, that would be, the impractical jokers. It would be like, another Stallone thing, like Rambo, if you're suddenly just like, you get stuck on Staten Island, and you're just like, the impractical jokers are just like, we don't like your kind around here. You guys don't, you seem pretty practical. I don't know, we're pretty impractical here on Staten Island.
We both like joking around.
Yeah.
Snake Plissken has to escape from
Staten
jail island of Staten Island.
He has to go up against the impractical jokers to get off of Staten Island.
Do you know all four of their names?
Sal.
Mm-hmm.
There's one named Rocco.
There's not. No, there's not a Rocco. It's Sal. Mike? I know Sal. Merv?
Like
Merv?
Merv?
Yeah, like the three wise men?
It's M-U-R-R.
Merv.
No way.
Oh, my God.
Merv.
Oh, like Murray.
That's right, Merv. Right? Merv. So, Sal, Merv.
As if Murray wasn't enough of, the salt of the earth name.
E? Is there one named E?
E.
Turtle?
Turtle. Mer.
It's not very practical what you're saying, Julie, I have to say.
Exactly.
It's, you might be the first, you might be like the lady joker. What about that? Hey guys, you know what we need for this upcoming season? A lady joker, right?
A jokerino.
Yeah, exactly.
Jokerina.
Impractical jokers.
Jokerina.
Welcomes Julie Klausner.
You can't call me that. You call me Klaus.
They welcome. Yeah. The impractical jokers welcome, just kidding, Julie Klausner, JK. Here she is, right?
I'm like.
They just call you Jew.
And
hey, Jew.
They're like, hey, Jew, eat that French fry. Yeah. And I'm like, oh.
No.
Come on, fellas. Oh, really? Well, here we go. Is that how I'm supposed to do it?
That is how it would go down on season 8 of Impractical Jokers.
How long has that show been on the air? It's like MASH.
It is like, it's our MASH,
yeah.
Right? It's like the MASH of true TV, right? One day they're going to be like, the final episode of Impractical Joker. And he'll just be like, it was a baby. He'll be like at the mall, at the Staten Island Mall. It was a baby. Remember that episode?
Or is all like Sal's in a coma? It was all his dream.
It's turned out that Sal
Vietnam.
That Sal Sal fell off the upper, like he was like leaning over the railing at the Staten Island Mall, and he fell
off the ferry.
He dreamt this entire show.
Yeah.
Right, and he comes out of it like, oh. How everybody comes out of everything, they go, oh. Have you ever woken up once? Oh. In like a bad dream, it's always like, what? I'm still not, okay. Oh, okay. Okay. All right, it's a dream. Like it's never, oh, what a bed. Yeah, somebody saying they'd make you eat a Black Whopper. Hey, Julie, eat that Black Whopper.
Oh, guys. Oh, fellas, come on.
Burger King presents the Impractical Jokers. Taking their brand of hilarity to burger, to Halloween's, because it's a scary Whopper.
It is scary.
And do you hear that organ music when it plays the fan?
The burger has like a little greeting card, like
and a cape,
music box,
like a red cape on its. In
there. The burger. The Phantom of the Burger King.
Yeah, and it's behind a keyboard, a little keyboard.
Yeah, like a little burger, a keyboard that is the size that a burger would play. Like if a burger needed to play, it wouldn't play like a full size keyboard. Yeah. It would be smearing its burgers. I'm sure that A1 sauce
it's
would
pickles.
Leak out.
It's pickles.
Yeah,
I think pickle, his pickles would be fingers.
The pickle would leak out all over. They need to add an look. People are bothering the Impractical Jokers on Twitter now, saying, please consider Julie Krasner for the role of for the role of Impractical Jokerino.
Seven, you should get a movement, like get to like a salon think piece where they're like, when will there finally be a female Impractical Joker?
Yeah.
Rumor has it, it just starts as like a rumor because it's like, you know, Evel Knievel started when he had
would call up the place he wanted to be booked and be like, I heard
the Sands. Was it with the fountain or whatever or the. Whatever
I listened to Gary the Squirrel's review.
But the thing he would call up, he would just go like, he would call up as people, they'd mangle Evel Knievel's name, but they would also, he would call up with these like basically anti-Semitic reporter names, like saying like,
right,
you know, hey, it's Herb Rosen. Like he's just like
Jew knows.
Yeah. And what's the deal with this evil Sneevil or whatever?
Evel Sneevil.
Jump the thing. I don't
know. Imagine being this man's wife and be like, "What are you doing today?" He's like, "I'm working." Yeah. And be like, "Hi, this is Jewy Nosteen asking about an evil Sneevil. When will you book him?"
And then finally.
Yeah.
Evel Knievel calls.
Yep.
And he goes,
have there been any calls for me?
It's the dumbest
it's
thing
like
you've ever
heard. It's like the Prince Albert in a can joke. It's you know what it is? It's a practical joke.
It's a it's, but it got, it's, he called and he was like, this is Evel Knievel's manager. He's like, I've been hearing you guys are spreading rumors that he's going to be jumping the fountain at this casino. And then he said, and this is from this Lee Montfeld book on Evel Knievel. It's one of the greatest books I've ever read. He said, and then he says, we're going to sue you. But, you know, but he says, but look, I also manage Lawrence Welk and I have to go with him on a European tour right now. So what I'm going to do. I'm going to have Evel call you tomorrow and maybe the two of you can sort it out. Like, that's literally what Evel Knievel did when he called. And then the next day he's like, yeah, it's Evel Knievel. My manager told me to call. What is this thing, a jump at the fountain or something? And then they're like, well, people are keep saying you're going to do it. So he's like, so should we do it or what? And then it's like, I'll do it for like 30 grand. And then that's how his career started.
It's amazing.
Is this good, Mike? Best show, you're on the air.
Yeah, this is Adam from Tampa. How are you all this evening?
Adam from Tampa. What's up, Adam?
I just wanted to thank Julie Klausner for adding
an episode to my list of Christmas episodes, like great Christmas episodes. Christmas episode of Difficult People.
Oh,
thank
fantastic.
You. Thanks.
So good.
Thanks.
So good.
Thank yeah. you.
Right up there with like all of the classic Christmas episodes. So
what's
thanks.
Another classic?
That's all I got.
Thank you.
Okay.
Oh, the Andy Griffith Show episode.
Okay.
The where the old man from the department store mm-hmm. learns the meaning of Christmas. Mm-hmm. I think that's a good one.
That's a good one. What about the one on family ties when the guy steals all the presents? Remember that one?
No. Who steals them?
Some
Reagan
guy hanging out with him. Right?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, he was so nice.
He was nice, but he said so the nice, nice thing, and now it's time for him to...
to move along.
Yeah, to move along.
He's of Jeez. No use to us.
Yeah.
Come on.
Impractical Jokers can regenerate into different genders now. So it's just like, it's like a Doctor Who kind of thing.
They've evolved.
Uh-huh.
Has there been a woman? You know what? Don't as I'm asking, well, I don't want to know the answer.
First of all, you know the answer.
I don't.
No.
Well then,
of course
thanks.
There hasn't.
Now I know. Okay.
Not yet. Dudio
calm
loves
down.
Doctor
Who. Calm down,
Who.
Dudio.
Him and his Doctor Who. This guy. He's got the jacket and the scarf out there.
Mm-hmm.
God help me, he's going to run in with it in 30 seconds, and he's going to... Oh, he's... Oh, this Doctor Who thing. I try to watch that. It's the most boring thing I ever saw in my life.
Isn't it
it's
a
cheap-looking...
Children's show?
It is. Like, it's for kids 50 years ago. It's like for dumb British kids 50 years ago. Stuck with some disease... Can't leave the house. Right?
All they eat is like biscuits.
Yeah. Like the
they have like terrible diseases.
No, see, he's got the scarf.
Oh no, he did.
And he's got his sonic screwdriver, which I tried to throw out, but seems to always find its way back onto one of the shelves.
Hmm.
Yeah.
If there was a lady named if there was a lady Doctor Who, do you know what she would be called? What's Doctor that? Who?
Yeah.
Because they'd be surprised she was female.
Yeah, they'd be like Doctor Who. Thought it was a good idea to have a female Doctor Who. There were still a few guys that could have been Doctor
yeah.
Who.
Yeah, I'll start. Don Cheadle.
That would be a good Doctor Who. From House of Cards. From House of Games.
From House of Cards, I mean, it could have been Doug Stamper.
No, wait, keep going.
Game of Houses.
House of Lies.
House yes. of Lies. From Games of Lies. Right? From the House Thrones.
From the guys who brought you...
Yeah. From the guys who brought you House of Cards.
Mm-hmm.
That was a good Christmas episode of House of Lies. You remember that one?
No. You remember the House of Cards Christmas episode?
Yeah, what happened
to the president that? Shoved somebody in front of the train. Remember when the president went around murdering everybody? Remember that one when he's just like... What you have to understand...
Mm. A snake cannot eat his own tail. And then he'd, like, murder a prostitute.
I love it. Can't wait for it to come back.
Freddy, what did you do to these ribs?
Oh, what a great character yeah. Freddy is. What a rich
yeah.
backstory. Yes. Ribsmith.
That call must have been great when, like, it's like, oh, yeah, the congressman... Mm-hmm. He really wants to come in this morning. Can you get there like? I guess you probably have to get there like 4:30 in the morning and start making ribs so he can eat at 7. Like
mm-hmm.
he wants to eat before it opens.
Yeah.
Like he'll be there at 7:30. So that yeah. means.
But the good news is, I'll talk to you.
Yeah, so that means you have to get up at 2.
Right.
Get over there. Start making ribs for him all morning.
That was when I stopped watching House of Cards. Was when Freddy's rib place was becoming a. chain. And I was like, no. This is not a thing you do in season 2 of a show.
What if
it's like my chain is
take this.
Freddy, your ribs could be eaten by people across. That was like
that's when you were out. Picture this.
Nope. No more.
You're eating at Freddy's rib place, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then someone comes over and takes a french fry from your plate. But before he does it, he goes, uh-huh. Oh, no.
Oh, no, God,
just,
come
you just
on.
Hear it, like, from, was... You hear from around the corner.
Hey,
oh, no.
Yeah, yeah. Grab a french fry.
Grab one of the ribs. Grab one of the ribs from her plate.
Aww.
Oh, come on, guys.
The president. Kill the impractical joker for stealing one of his precious ribs.
Yeah. He's eating a rib. Mm-hmm. He's eating ribs. The impractical jokers don't know that that is Congressman
Francis.
They don't know what's. Yeah, Francis Underwood.
Francis.
Right?
Mm hmm.
Do it. Hey. Grab a rib off that guy's plate.
I don't want to. I'm kind of nice. Hey,
you see that bald guy?
Yeah.
In the suit. You see that bald guy in the $6,000 suit? Eating ribs at 7 in the morning?
Yeah.
Joke arena.
Yeah, no, I hear you. I know. Yeah.
Grab a rib off.
No, God! Oh!
What if there was someone in his ear being like, Sal, you see that guy who's waiting in line over there? Go embarrass that guy. Go.
And then the impractical jokers are back at home. And then suddenly, Doug Stamper shows up at their door. I'd like to talk to you for a minute. He's like,
he's wearing like gloves and he has a wire. Like he has like the kind of wire that you use to take like a big hunk of clay off of
them. Yeah. You mean the Garrett.
Top of a cliver.
The Garrett that pillar? Morgan Spurlock used at the Clown Motel. Oh, there's like a, we're all, this is, this might be one of the most fun best shows I've ever done. And it rose from the ashes of tech problems, but it ended up being so fun. Why? Two reasons. Julie Klausner, Hayes Davenport.
I thought you were going to say, like, Squarespace.
No. Well, look.
Are you allowed to talk about when you got the call from Earwolf that was like, that advertiser's mad at you?
Wait, that happened a couple times.
Because for people who don't know, Hollywood Handbook. You do you guys have fun with the spots.
Mm-hmm. It's all content. Content's king.
Mm-hmm. It's content is king.
You don't fast forward the ads on Hollywood Handbook.
Yeah. The thing where the pedophilia thing, I forget what I told you, but one thing that happened was we did some ad. And we got an email from an Earwolf person saying, hey, guys, the advertiser's really furious. Please don't talk about pedophilia in your ads. And we were both like, "That we didn't do that. Like, we're pretty sure that just, like, didn't happen. Mm-hmm. And so we go back and listen to it. And it was a thing for QuickBooks, Intuit QuickBooks. and our bit was something like... you can't go to your accountant anymore because you were working late one night and you slept with your accountant. And then Sean instantly goes, and your accountant's kid. So we're just like listening through this thing together, getting ready to make our case that we didn't do anything about pedophilia. Oh, no. And we listen for like eight seconds. And then it's like, oh, I guess we'll just be... eating it on this one, and I just immediately start drafting the apology email.
Oh, Hollywood Handbook is so good.
Yeah, my favorite episode is the Sinbad one.
He was so the best. Great.
That one blew me out of the wall. Just
funny bones, you know,
he was great,
just in his bones.
Mm-hmm. His daughter. Was also great.
Yes. And a dog. It was carrying just a bag the whole time, and suddenly the bag opens and a tiny dog comes out.
And at one point they put the dog next to the microphone.
We rub it up against the microphone. Rub it against the microphone.
It was great.
Loved it. My trilogy has concluded.
Are you sure you're not going to follow up? You're not going to do another? You'll start from scratch?
No.
Podmask called
new
it
arc.
A trilogy.
New
Podmask declared. They declared it a trilogy, and I was like reading, I'm just like, wait, who said this was a trilogy? I'll do the show 10 more times. It's just like, the trilogy has concluded. That's the problem with this nerd stuff, man. Star Wars, everything's a trilogy now. oh, the trilogy. It's like, that didn't exist. We talked about that before. We were talking about that off air in real life.
Yeah.
Or, you know, when you're everything but the show. When you have normal human conversations. The idea of a trilogy
mm-hmm.
as a thing, that's mm-hmm. like a Star Wars thing,
well,
right?
Well, it's the Bible.
The Bible.
Yeah. The Holy Trinity, right?
But it just the idea of three parts of yeah, but that wasn't, there's not like there's Old Testament, New Testament, and like.
Oh, like, oh, right. You mean like three stories yes, being yeah, iconic
yeah.
as
yeah.
a.
Yeah.
Sure.
It's
yeah.
not just any three things.
Mm hmm. Yeah.
You know, that thing where it's just like, oh, the trilogy has been, it's like.
Right.
Because now it's like, oh, the Godfather trilogy. Like, he felt he had to do a third one because everybody's just yeah. like, what right. about the trilogy?
Right.
He's like, yeah, I did two. They're right. kind of perfect.
Yeah. It's the crystal skull is outside of the trilogy.
You didn't finish the trilogy. And he's like, boy, the guy's got a point. I didn't finish the trilogy.
Is that the Back to the Future 3 itis too? I like your sure. Back to the Future tweet.
Well, I'm working on, I'm co-writing it now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Back to the Future.
You're doing some stuff with the principal that's really interesting.
We've got a lot of twists and turns ready. For people who don't know, I'm co-writing the Back to the Future reboot. It's very exciting.
And is it all in the Old West?
No, that's the third one. We're not. We're just doing the original.
Oh, because
a reboot of the
okay.
first movie.
Okay.
Hopefully we'll get to do a reboot.
Do we check in on Steenburgen's character at
yeah.
all?
No, not in the first one.
Okay.
No. Not in your first one.
Not my first one.
Okay.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Okay.
No. So it's going well, and good. Alan and I are having a good time writing it, and really just having so much fun in the studio.
Alan?
Seems like it. Yeah.
Smithy?
No, Covert.
He's your writing partner. Yeah. Oh, Alan my Covert. God. Okay.
He had a pilot that didn't go.
Okay.
Covert Operations. It was him as a CIA agent. And it just didn't. It didn't make the cut. I thought it was yeah. good. I thought it had. I thought it was a little too edgy, and I don't think people are ready for that kind of show right now with Alan Covert as a CIA agent because he had problems too. He had problems. He just loved to. Just loved to read comic books and collect them. And he was so obsessed with, like, getting... Because there's this thing, Julie, it's called the comic book. They do these gradings of them. And he was obsessed mm-hmm. with getting the entire run, mm. the John Byrne, Chris mm-hmm. Claremont run of the X-Men,
mm-hmm.
all 8.2s and above.
Mm-hmm.
And he was having a really hard time getting the issue with when the X-Men got dumped inside a giant pinball machine. He couldn't find that one. Apparently that one was very... Kids who read that one did not do a good job of keeping it neat. Let's get one final call. 201-332-3484. 201-332-3484. One final call here with Julie Klausner, Hayes Davenport. Then we'll wrap it up, and then we'll be Nathan Fielder will be on next week's show. He wrote me and said he will join us next week. One call. I just need one. Just one. Just one call. Can I get one? Give me one.
I can share a discovery I made.
What's that?
But you can please. Stop it whenever there's a
sure.
call.
Okay.
Julie gave me one of your Under the Dome cards
yes.
that's sitting on the desk here.
Mm-hmm.
And it says they're made by scifihobby.com.
Mm-hmm.
And so I went to look and see like what other stuff they make cards for. And they do a lot of sci-fi shows. They do okay. Star Trek,
yeah.
Farscape. They do have a card series for
okay.
that show, Warehouse 13, that sci-fi mm-hmm. show. Xena, a lot of things
sure.
like that. And also the WNBA.
The WNBA.
They're the official scifihobby.com. Very sad. I take no joy in this. This is true. It says on their website they're the official card manufacturer for the WNBA.
So Fleer was just like.
So they call it good news.
Topps was just
we
like.
We got a deal.
I don't think we're going to do these. And then they're just like, look, we got to get somebody's got to make these cards. Like, what about what is it? Sci-fi.
Sci-fihobby.com.
It's like you shop your show everywhere and like pivot passes and like.
And then like, suddenly it's like.
FXX is like no. And
what about that Snapchat channel?
They said no. They said no. They said no.
Yeah. Like.
Like, well, Subway. Like, Overstock.com is doing...
Subway has TVs and...
That's true, by the way. That's true. I heard that's true, that Overstock.com is dipping their toe into, you know, original programming.
Oh, that sounds... Who wouldn't... It just screams quality. Overstock.com. It's just like... What if they just showed the worst shows that no one wanted? Like, the Overstock of television.
Yeah.
201, come on, one call. I know we're going late here. I know people are tired. One call and then I can end the show. 201-332-3484. Come on. Can't believe it. Where is everybody? I'm just going to take this, Mike. Best show, you're on the air.
Hi, John. This is Alex from Toronto.
Alex in Toronto. Do I know this, Alex?
You do. Sorry, I realized I've already blown it. I forgot my title.
Mm-hmm. What's your proper name on the show?
This is Toronto's sex dwarf, Alex, calling in.
Toronto's how are you tonight, Toronto's sex dwarf, Alex?
I'm doing okay. How's everybody over there?
We're
doing
good.
Pretty
we're good.
Good.
We're good. Good.
Now you, what are you doing tonight, Toronto sex dwarf Alex?
I just came back from, I hesitate to say this because I feel like then I'm just going to trap myself, but I came back from a rehearsal with a band and I thought I had missed the show and I just checked in and I saw that it was still going.
You want to know what Toronto sex dwarf Alex? I'm letting you off the hook tonight. I'm not going to do it to you. So I appreciate you calling. I want you to say, give me your sign off and we'll talk. I'll talk to you later.
Okay. Well, this is Toronto sex dwarf Alex signing off.
Have a good night. Best show, you're on the air. Hello?
Hey, this is Eddie from Los Angeles.
Eddie from Los Angeles. What are you doing tonight, buddy?
I was just watching the Dodgers and hanging out, listening to Best Show.
Yeah. Were you watching the Dodgers through someone else's window? Like
no, the TV.
Yeah, their TV, but their TV, right?
yeah, of course. I don't have a TV.
That's how you get your jollies, isn't it? Staring in windows.
Oh, of course.
Watching other people watch the Dodgers, right?
Yeah, that's my favorite thing to do, man.
All right, great. Have a good night. Just needed to get that done.
All right. It's become so.
Yeah.
Perfunctory.
Oh, no.
You know what I know about? I'm not a sports person, but you know what I know?
What do you know?
The Dodgers broke our hearts.
Mm-hmm. You know what I know, Julie, is that Metal Gear Eric on Twitter, he sent a very interesting picture that you should see. It's the cast photo of Impractical Jokers.
It's a good one of you.
And I noticed that JK, the Jokerina, is making her presence known with the Impractical Jokers. She's sticking her head behind.
Can you put the J and the K and the word Jokers like a different color? Like a pink?
You hear that, Metal Gear Eric? You've got to make the J and
just
the K.
Just a small note.
Yeah. Jokerina.
He's going to stay up to like 3:30 a.m. now.
He's going to be like, I mean, I don't know why she had to ask for, I mean, I'm trying to do it. Damn it, it doesn't look right.
But I know she's right.
She's only going to send me back to the drawing board.
He's late for work, though. He gets fired.
He gets fired.
He comes calling on Julie.
Because he just he gets it right. He sends it through. He goes to bed, and then he wakes up. He looks at his alarm clock, 9:50. He's like, no, 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 oh, no, no. Like that super late feeling when you're just like, oh, no, oh, no, He says, like, all right, I don't have to take a shower. What do? I could probably brush my teeth at work. I just got to get to work so fast. Oh, no. That is... Has anybody talked about that? Have you ever heard anybody, like, is that a thing? Everybody knows that feeling, but, like,
yes.
But isn't that how everybody responds? Oh, no, no! Oh, all right, my friend. On the way out, I'm going to tell you all, once again, thanks to Merge Records for sponsoring tonight's episode of The Best Show. In 2015, Merge added some exciting releases to its already stellar catalog. Titus Andronicus, Mike Kroll, Mac McCann's great solo album, Mac from Superchunk, Arcade Fire's Will Butler's great solo album, The Mountain Goats, Waxahachie, The Destroyer album, Poison Season, one of the best albums in his career and of the year. And you find all that stuff over at MergeRecords.com. They've also put out reissues of records by Spoon, Seaweed, Superchunk, Mountain Goats. The Merge web store has all this stuff. Limited number of complete or thousands of prizes, 7-inch box sets, and the selections from the Merge 25th Anniversary reissue series, such as Lamb Chop's Nixon and Teenage Fan Club's Man Made. Go to MergeRecords.com/shop, and Best Show listeners will receive a 20% discount, 20% off on all Merge catalog CDs and LPs and Merge gear like T-shirts, hats, and tote bags. MergeRecords.com/shop. Use use the code Best Show at checkout to get that 20% discount. MergeRecords.com/shop, code Best Show. I want to thank Julie Klausner and Hayes Davenport. Thank you so much. This is so much fun tonight.
Thank you, Tom.
We love you, Tom.
Yes.
Oh, I love you, too. Thank you both. And check out Difficult People on Hulu.
Overstock.com.
Overstock.com. The outtakes from Difficult People will be available at Overstock on the Overstock Network. Hayes, people can check out Hollywood Handbook at Earwolf.com.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And... Who's an upcoming guest? Anything in the bank you can tease the your handbook fans with?
I hesitate to.
Okay. Well, fair enough. Sorry, guys. You got nothing.
Sorry.
All right. So we will be back next week. Nathan Fielder will be on the show next week. Thanks to everybody for listening. And on the way out, I'm going to play something by the Golden Boys. From their great album, which came out a couple years ago at this point, a few years ago. Their album, Dirty Fingernails. Let's listen to a song called Sidewalk. We'll be back next week. Thanks, everybody, for listening.